You're listening to a special presentation of Red Devil Sports on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF. The Oberlin Red Devils are on the air. Coverage of the Oberlin Red Devils is brought to you in part by
AquaShield Roofing, Creative Collision, Culligan of Oberlin, Decatur Co-op, Decatur County Beef, Decatur Health, Farm Credit of Western Kansas, FNB Bank of Oberlin, Frederickson Insurance Agency, High Plains Podiatry, J.D. Skiles, Nextech, Nutrient Ag Solutions of Oberlin, R&M Service Center, Ray's Grocery, The Bank, United Northwest Federal Credit Union, FAB Construction, and Ward Drug Store.
Now, here's the voice of the Red Devils, Sam Knoll.
Welcome into another edition of Red Devil Game Day here on today's Best Country 101.1 KFNF as we get you set and ready to go for tonight's district matchup between the Oberlin Red Devils and the Stockton Tigers. I'm Sam Knoll, taking you through your Red Devil Game Day pregame show and giving you all the play-by-play coverage here today. Coming up in Red Devil Game Day, we'll take a look back at last week's tough loss for the Red Devils to the Hoxie Indians. As well, we will preview upcoming tonight as they take on the Stockton Tigers. Take a closer look at them in our Red Devil opposition segment, as well as sit down with head coach Brandon Hardwick and take a look at scores from around the state of last week. That's all coming up here in Red Devil Game Day. Let's start by taking a closer look at last week's tough loss for the Red Devils, as the Red Devils came in with a 3-1 record, Hoxie 4-0, probably the most highly touted matchup between the two in the last 10 years or so, and boy, did it play out on the football field for Hoxie anyway, as the Indians would walk away with the win 45-12. Take you through your scoring summary. It was Hoxie getting on the scoreboard first after Oberlin would go 3-and-out on their first drive. And on the punt, their first punt of the night would be shanked off the side of the foot and go out of bounds. And Hoxie would start with the football at the 26-yard line. 2 plays later, they'd be into the end zone with a Braden Sheets 2-yard touchdown run. And the Indians would lead it 6-0. The Red Devils, just a couple of plays later, though, would find themselves into the end zone as Josiah Pattengall, on second down and about 8 from the 17-yard line, would run it for 51 yards to set up the Red Devils perfect in the red zone. A couple of plays later, it was Pattengall getting in with a 6-yard touchdown run. His 2-point conversion try would be no good, and with 8:39 to go in the first quarter of play, it would be knotted up at 6 apiece between the Indians and the Red Devils. From that point on, it was all Indians, though, as they would punch in another touchdown with 4:11 to go in the first quarter of play, as Duncan Bell would hit Trent Finner for a 14-yard touchdown pass. The 2-point conversion run from Braden Sheets would be good, and it would be 14-6 Hoxie. They would get the ball back again and score again with just seconds remaining in the first quarter, as with 55.5 seconds to go, it was Duncan Bell hitting Trent Finner for a 22-yard pass. This time, the 2-point conversion pass from Bell to Monk would be no good, and it would be 20-6, Hoxie out in front. Then Hoxie would continue the scoring with 10:36 to go in the second quarter of play when Duncan Bell would run it in from 1 yard out. The 2-point conversion pass from Bell to Watkins would be no good, and the Indians would lead it 26-6. They would add to their lead with 10:50 to go in the third quarter of play when Braxton Monk would run it in from 1 yard out. The 2-point conversion run by Braden Sheets would be no good, and it would be 32-6. Then with 7:28 to go in the third quarter of play, Duncan Bell would hit Sam Watkins for a 6-yard touchdown pass. The PAT try from Trent Finner this time would be good, and the Hoxie with an even 7 points there would take a lead 39-6. Then Duncan Bell would hit Braxton Monk for a 9-yard touchdown pass with 2:27 to go in the third quarter of play to make it 45-6. Oberlin would get on the scoreboard again with 4:57 to go in the fourth quarter of play. Caden Sowers would run it in from 15 yards out. The 2-point conversion run by Pattengall would be no good, and that would stand us at our final score, 45-12. Hoxie outscored Oberlin 20-6 in the first quarter, 6-0 in the second, for a halftime lead of 26-6. It outscored the Red Devils 19-0 in the third for a 45-6 lead after three. The Red Devils would outscore the Indians 6-0 in the fourth for a 45-12 win. With the loss, Oberlin dropped to 3-2 and 1-1 in district play and 1-2 at Smick Memorial Field. couple of bright spots for the Red Devils, though, on the offensive side of the football. It was Josiah Pattengall having another great night. 24 carries, 118 yards, and a touchdown for Josiah last week. That takes his season total to 109 carries, 909 yards, and 14 touchdowns on the season. He's averaging 8.3 yards per carry and almost 182 yards per game. So Josiah off to a great start to his sophomore season, and we'll look to continue that tonight. Gage Willoughby, tough night behind center, throwing the ball last week as well as rushing it, but did prove to be key in some moments when the Red Devils were able to get a couple of drives going. Gage finished the night last week 1 of 6 for 33 yards and an interception, had 5 carries for 7 yards in total. Willoughby now on the year, 7 of 22 for 31% on his passes. 180 yards, 3 touchdowns to 2 picks. He's got 16 carries for 58 yards and a touchdown. Caden Sowers had 9 carries for 13 yards last week and a touchdown, taking his season total to 37 carries for 124 yards and 5 touchdowns. Sowers also has 5 receptions for 110 yards and 2 TDs on the year. Tyler Osmeyer came up with another big catch for the Red Devils, as if you wouldn't expect that already. Tyler now has 4 receptions for 77 yards and a touchdown on the season. He just had 1 catch last week for 33 yards, but it was a big one down the middle of the field, having to come back to the football as it was caught in the air there going up against a couple of Hawks guys. So very big catch there for Tyler Osmeyer. Offensively, the Red Devils could just never seem to get it going, and I would credit that really to the special teams play of the Hoxie Indians. Trent Finner seemed like he was backing up the Red Devils throughout the whole entire contest to start a drive at the 15-yard line, and that's not saying the Red Devils haven't gone on a big long drive like that from the 15 and punched into the end zone, but when you're constantly doing that, not getting a break, sometimes it's tough to maybe get in a rhythm a little bit, and that's what the Red Devils had a tough time with going up against one of the best defenses in the state. I mean, that's why the Indians are ranked number one in 8-man Division I at the moment. They got a really good defense, and some would even say the defense carries the offense a little bit, as it seemed like the Red Devils, especially on special teams with a couple of miscues, Hoxie was able to take care of those and punch him in for touchdowns. Oberlin overall offensively last week finished with 171 total yards, 33 passing yards, 138 on the ground. They had 2 rushing touchdowns and 1 turnover. That interception, had a couple more as well, and a block punt, as well as some turnover on downs as well. So tough night for the Red Devils special teams anyway. And when we talk with head coach Brandon Hardwick coming up, he said they've really practiced on that, and it really goes to show you that, hey, just a couple of plays here or there is really the difference against a good team like the Hoxie Indians. And hopefully tonight they'll kind of, you know, put that beside them, use the stuff that they've used in practice this week, and really come out on top, make everything flow a lot better than it did last week in some certain parts. As for the Red Devil defense, they held one of the best offenses in the state to just 259 total yards. I know a lot of their drives started on the opposite side of the 40, and they were able to punch them in, but the Red Devils still forced them to go to 3 or 4 downs and had a hard time getting into the end zone at some points, did the Hawks Indians last week, as they held them to just 259 total yards, 120 through the air, 139 on the ground, 4 pass touchdowns, 3 rushing touchdowns. They did have 1 turnover on a strip sack fumble back there that Garrett Emick was able to pick up and run for a few yards. But, man, it was kind of a team effort last week, but Garrett Emick was the bright spot on the defensive side of the football. The DN had 8 tackles alone last week, 7 of them being solos. He had 3 tackles for loss, a sack, and a fumble recovery. Tyler Osmeyer also played huge last week, had 5 tackles, 2 solos, and a tackle for loss. Caden Sowers, big week. He was the one that got the sack and the forced fumble there. So he had 9 tackles with 4 solos, so a tackle for loss as well. Gage Willoughby had a pretty good week as well, 4 tackles and 4 solos for him. It's a Red Devil defense that is constantly moving on and growing and improving. They've really improved from week 1 until now, especially in the red zone. I know they ended up giving up 45 points last week, but the Red Devils did a great job. And like I said, really forcing Hoxie to kind of use the whole playbook last week. They had to run it, had to throw it a little bit as well in some situations. And the Red Devils, when they did force them to go on a long drive, just, you know, a couple of plays here or there that they wish they could have back, maybe on 3rd and long or 4th and long, and you could definitely be looking at a different score. But overall, very much improved Red Devil team from last year when they played Hoxie, and Hoxie shut them out 46-0, as it was just all Hoxie from the get. this time, Hoxie kind of had to work, and we played all four quarters last week, so the Red Devils really showed him that they've very much improved, and they did, especially on the defensive side of the football. And like I mentioned, offense was there at some points, but just could never really get in that flow, and that's what happens when you play one of the better teams in their state. They're going to take you out of your game a little bit, make you do some things that you're not really comfortable with, and it's not the fact that the Red Devils weren't comfortable with them, just hadn't, you know, thrown it a lot in some situations, or hadn't experienced, you know, third and long, or being pushed up against your end zone to start every drive. So the Red Devils will, I'm sure, take a lot of that experience, and it kind of gave them a big wake-up call to kind of see, hey, where are we at compared to some of the top teams in our district? As that's no offense to St. Francis as well, who they opened up the season with, but the Red Devils haven't really been pushed in a game like that since the Dighton game in week two, and the Red Devils got it. I think have responded to that very well with a great week of practice this week. I'm sure as Coach Brandon Hardwick and his squad are looking forward to this game tonight in Stockton. Oberlin did something last week that no team has done against Hoxie all season long, and that score on him in the first quarter. As coming in, Hoxie had scored 82 points in the first quarter and hadn't allowed a single point. The Red Devils were able to put up 6 points in the first quarter of play, using some big plays, and it gained a lot of momentum for him, I'm sure, building up some confidence playing that well against a team like that last night. As the Red Devils 3-2 for the first time since 2021, when they beat St. Francis, Wallins County, and Stockton there, and then ended up losing to Quinter and Hoxie. So the Red Devils tonight looking to make it 4-2 for the first time since 2019. And speaking of the defense and how well that they have been playing and really pushing the offense as well, they have just given up 109 points through the first five games, which is the lowest since 2019 when they only gave up 62 through the first five games. So the Red Devil defense has really stepped up big for them this year and played very well against one of the top teams in the state last week. Just a couple of, you know, when you're starting, when the other team's starting on, you know, the 20-yard line, kind of tough to maybe get in a rhythm yourself on the defensive side of the football. Going to be a good one tonight, once again, from Stockton, as we continue to get you set and ready to go for tonight's matchup between Oberlin and Stockton. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back on the Red Devil game day, we will take a look around the state at scores from last week as well as all the upcoming matchups this week. That's still to come here on Red Devil Game Day on 101.1 KFNF, today's best country.
Here come the men in black trucks.
To bad roofs.
Say yes to AquaShield Roofing.
With over 17 years of providing A-plus services.
Roofs, siding, gutters, windows, doors, and spray foam insulation.
Plus, AquaShield Roofing offers a workmanship warranty. For your free estimate, give them a call at 785-475-2533. AquaShieldRoofing.com.
Here come the men in black trucks for all your home needs.
With the right touch, bent metal, shattered glass, and twisted frames can be restored to their original glory. At Creative Collision, they have one simple mantra: repair, restore, renew. It's about taking damaged vehicles and transforming them into something sleek, smooth, and safe. Comprehensive auto body repair and restoration. Available exclusively at Creative Collision in Oberlin, Kansas. Revive it, drive it, and love it. Call for an estimate at 785-470-2130 or visit Creative Collision's virtual garage online at creativecollisionoberlin.com.
When you think of Decatur Co-op, do you think about grain? Feed your livestock, horses or pets, propane, supplies? How about tires? Yes, Decatur Co-op in Oberlin has a tire shop that specializes in tire repair, along with oil changes, exhaust, front-end alignment, and major mechanical work.
Bet you didn't know all that.
Well, now you know. And the next time you need any of those services, think of Decatur Co-op at the railroad tracks in Oberlin. Book your appointment. Call 785-475-2234.
Decatur County Beef wants to do business with all the local farmers. They want to buy your high-moisture corn and grain sorghum, also alfalfa and dry corn, anytime. Decatur Beef and Hoxie Feed Yard are always looking for good help. Truck drivers, plumbers, welders, and pan riders. Decatur County Beef is located just north of Oberlin on Highway 83, and Hoxie Feed Yard is just west of Hoxie. Call 785-475-2212 for Decatur County Beef, or call Scott at 785-675-9009. Give them a try. You will be glad you did.
It's time to take a look back at the scores from last week and who's playing who this week. This is a scoreboard update on today's best country, 101.1 KFNF.
Welcome back into Red Devil Game Day. Time now for your scoreboard update, where we take a look at scores from around the state of Kansas in 8-man Division 1 last week, as well as taking a look at the Week 6 slate this week across the state of Kansas. We'll go district by district across the state, giving you scores from last week. As in District 8, the district that Oberlin's in, as you know, Oberlin with a tough loss against Toxie, 45-12. In other district action, Rawlins County over Stockton, 58-12. So Rawlins County, after losing in Week 1 to Dighton, has rattled off now four straight wins. St. Francis losing to Hill City on the road, 76-36. So the district standings so far at the top, it's Hoxie and Rawlins County. Hoxie with their 4-0, with their 5-0 record now, is at the top of the district standings. In second place, Rawlins County at 4-1 and 2-0. And then it goes Hill City at 3-2 and 1-1, Oberlin at 3-2 and 1-1, and then just sitting outside on the outside looking in and maybe getting in the playoffs at St. Francis and Stockton are both 0-2 in district play. St. Francis 3-2 overall. Stockton, as you know, still looking for their first win. In District 1 action last week, Cedar Valdexter losing to West Elk on the road, 64-14. Oswego all over Central Burton, 49-0. And Sedan all over Northeast Arma, 36-28. In District 2 action, Madison takes down Northern Heights, 48-2. Chase County all over Yates Center, 54-0. And Linden all over Flint Hills, 58-8. In District 3 action, Little River on top of Canton Galva, 66-6. Central Plains on top of Gosselle, 50-0. And El Saline all over Solomon, 45-0. In District 4 action, Sylvan Lucas on the road takes down Lakeside, 50-8. Lincoln all over Rock Hills, 74-24. And Clifton Clyde takes down Washington County, 48-0. In District 5 action, South Central puts up 80 points last week as they take down Wichita Independent, 80-0. Oxford on the road wins 54-8 against Pratt Skyline. And Kiowa County rebounds to get a win 62-12 over Udall there in District 5 action. In District 6 action, Spearville losing a tight one to Kinsley, who's now 3-1 and 1-0, who's now 4-1 and 2-0 in district play, excuse me, as they take down Spearville 30-22. Sublette all over Elkhart, 46-0. And South Gray takes down Meade, 52-6. In District 7 action, Trago picks up their first win of the season with a 52-47 win over Ellis on the road. Ellis, that is only their second loss of the year. The other loss came to Hoxie. They put up a lot of points this year, and finally kind of one of those games where they've had put up a lot of points goes to the other team, so Ellis looking to rebound after that tight, close loss last week. Wichita County all over Ness City, 62-6. They only ran 22 plays, put up 62 points. I'll let you do the math on that one. 42-24 La Crosse all over Quinter there in District 7 action last week. In other games, Colby knocked from the undefeated ranks with Holcomb taking down the Eagles 41-7. Norton, after down 7-0 at half, comes back to win over Beloit 14-7. Oakley squeaks one out against Plainville on the road, 14-13. And Weskin takes down the defending state champs in six-man, 46-0. Coyote is off to a really great start. Golden Plains takes down Northern Valley, is now the Bulldogs of 4-1 on the year as they win 59-14. Let's take a look at your Week 6 slate across the state of Kansas. We'll go district by district, and starting in District 8, the district that Oberlin is in, Hill City at 3-2 and 1-1 in district play is on the road taking on Hoxie, who is 5-0 and 2-0 in district play, fresh off their win against Oberlin last week. Rawlins County, Oberlin's next week opponent, is on the road with a 4-1, 2-0 record taking on St. Francis, who's 3-2 and 0-2. Oberlin, as you know, taking on Stockton tonight here from Stockton. In District 1 action, West Elk at 5-0 and 2-0 overall on the year. on the road taking on Sedan, who's 2-3-1-1 in district play. Northeast Arma 0-5-0-2 in district play on the road taking on Oswego, who's 3-2-1-1. Central Burton 1-4-1-1 in district play on the road taking on Cedarvale Dexter, 3-2-1-1. In district 2 action, Linden at 3-2-1-1 in district play is on the road taking on Madison, who's 3-2-2-0. Chase County at 3-2-2-0 is on the road taking on Flint Hills, who's 2-3-0-2 in district play. Northern Heights is 2-3 on the year and 1-1 in district play. They're on the road taking on Yates Center, who is winless at 0-5-0-2. Little River, 5-0 start to the season, 2-0 in district play, is on the road taking on El Saline, who's not lost since week one. They're 4-1-2-0. Probably the game of the week this week in 8-man Division One. Little River, El Saline, with a lot of district implications on the line. Canton Galva at 2-3-0-2 is on the road taking on the Oilers of Central Plains, who is 4-1-2-0 in district play. Gossel at 1-4-0-2 on the road taking on Solomon, who is 0-5-0-2. In District 4 action, Clifton Clyde at 3-2-2-0 in district play is on the road taking on Sylvan Lucas, who's 5-0-2-0 in district play. Clifton Clyde with back-to-back wins to kind of climb out of the gutter that they were in. Started the season 1-2, now 3-2. Take that momentum on the road to take on one of the sneakily underrated really good teams in the state, the Sylvan Lucas Mustangs, who are 5-0-2-0 overall. Lakeside at 1-4-0-2 is on the road taking on Lincoln, who is 4-1-2-0. Lincoln, the Leopards, have a really sneaky offense. Look out for them come postseason time. Rock Hills, 3-2-0-2 in district play, is on the road taking on Washington County, who's 0-5-0-2. Rock Hills started 3-0, is now 3-2, so looking to get back in the win column. South Central at 5-0-2-0 in district play. They were kind of a team that I circled at the beginning of the year just because they made it so far in 8-man Division 2 and kind of went on a run, beating some traditional powerhouse teams there in the playoffs last year and have transferred that momentum into 8-man Division 1. They're now 5-0-2-0 in district play, not scoring their opponents by a wide margin through the first few weeks of the season with their 80-0 blowout, an example of that last week over Wichita Independent. They are on the road taking on Udall, who is 0-5-0-2 on the year. Oxford at 4-1-2-0 is on the road taking on Kiowa County, who's 2-3-1-1. Pratt Skyline at 2-3-1-1 in district play is on the road taking on Wichita Independent, who is winless in both overall record and district record this year. Spearville and Elkhart, one of the teams has got to walk away with a win. Spearville at 0-5-0-2 overall on the season is on the road taking on Elkhart, who's 0-5-0-2. One of them's got to walk home with a win, and a lot possibly district action-wise on the line there. South Gray at 3-2-2-0 on the road taking on Sublette, who's 4-1-2-0. The Larks there, they're going to prove to be pretty tough. They get a tough opponent tonight in South Gray. And then Kinsley, the Coyotes, who squeaked another one out last week, 4-1-2-0 in district play, on the road taking on the Buffaloes of Meade, who are 1-4-0-2. In District 7 action, the Leopards of La Crosse at 1-4-1-1 in district play are on the road taking on Wichita County, who is 3-1-2-0. Ellis on the road at 3-2-1-1, suffering their second loss of the year last week in a tight one with Trigo, is on the road taking on Quinter, who is still winless on the year at 0-5-0-2. Nest City at 1-4-1-1 in district play on the road taking on Trigo, who is 1-4-1-1 as well. How about a district like that? At the top, that's Wichita County. And then after that, there's not another undefeated team. La Crosse is 1-1, is 1-1. Ellis is 1-1. Nest City is 1-1, and Trigo is 1-1. That is going to be a tight district to see who makes it into the playoffs. Wichita County, I'm sure, will run away with the district championship. But after that, it's going to be tight to get in. Other games from around the state of notes. Colby is on the road taking on Goodland. Quite the rivalry there, and they'll battle it out on the gridiron. Russell is on the road taking on Norton. Hayes TMP is on the road visiting Oakley. Shy Lynn on the road taking on Western Plains Healy. And Golden Plains on the road meeting up with Weskin. Probably the game of the week this week in six-man action as Golden Plains at 4-1. Weskin off to an undefeated start. So that's a look at all the games around the state of Kansas coming up in week six in college action this week. Not a lot going on as both Kansas and Nebraska are on bye weeks this week, but it's a huge game for the Kansas State Wildcats this week as they take on the Colorado Buffaloes. It's going to be a good one between the Buffs and the Kansas State Wildcats. Buffaloes only one loss, that horrible defeating loss to Nebraska earlier in the year. K-State coming off of a tough loss to BYU earlier in the year, so looking to maybe rebound from that. Colorado, a lot of momentum on their side. Kansas State looking to have a really good game. Should be a good one. That game coming up Saturday, 9:15 kick there from Boulder. All the coverage can be seen on ESPN. Well, that'll do it for this scoreboard update. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's time for Red Devil Opposition, where we take a look at take a closer look at tonight's opponent, the Stockton Tigers. That's all still to come right here on Red Devil Game Day on 101.1 KFNF.
I keep telling you, these folks are good at real healthcare, which means they're always working to improve healthcare outcomes for their patients. To that end, Decatur Health in Oberlin is part of the Get With The Guidelines, a national program to improve outcomes for stroke patients. Not only is Decatur Health a part of the GWTG program, they recently received a bronze award for their continued improvement and work with that program. Once again, proving the healthcare professionals at Decatur Health are passionate about your well-being. Decatur Health, where passion and healing come together.
Farm Credit Western Kansas is synonymous with giving back to the community and its members. Whether it's attending events such as wheat plot tours, serving on various boards and committees, volunteering at local county fairs, or delivering $5.5 million in cash patronage checks, Farm Credit Western Kansas is community driven. Stop in at 1190 South Range in Colby or one of our convenient outpost offices. Farm Credit of Western Kansas, financing ag for generations.
Should be simple and convenient. With FNB Bank, it is. Whether online, by phone, or with a debit card, accessing your money has never been easier. Imagine managing your finances from the comfort of your home or on the go with just a few taps. FNB Bank in Oberlin, Kansas makes it all possible, ensuring you have control of your banking 24/7. Experience the convenience of modern banking with FNB Bank. Visit fnbbank.com today.
Insurance, it seems like you can never have enough. And when it comes to peace of mind, it's good to have the right insurance in place. Fredrickson Insurance Agency in Oberlin can help you do just that. Fredrickson's can help with supplemental insurance for your home, farm, business, auto, and yes, even your crop. Fredrickson's will help you find the best plan from the best companies. Insurance, get the best from Fredrickson Insurance Agency next to the Landmark in downtown Oberlin. 785-475-3883.
Take a look at tonight's opponent. It's time for Red Devil Opposition on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Welcome back into Red Devil Game Day. Time now for Red Devil Opposition, where we take a look at tonight's opponent, the Stockton Tigers. The Tigers of Stockton so far not off to the season that they wanted anyway, with an 0-5 mark on the year, 0-2 in district play. They're 0-2 at home and 0-3 on the road. The Tigers are coming off of three straight road games. They opened up with two back-to-back to start the year, losing to Logan Palco 46-0 and Lakeside 46-0, and then went on the road for three straight weeks, losing to Sylvan Lucas 50-0, Hoxie 53-0, and Rawlins County last week on the road in Atwood 58-12. And so far through the first 5 weeks of the year, four out of the five teams that Stockton have played either are undefeated or just have one loss. Logan Palco's 4-1, Rawlins County 4-1, Sylvan Lucas 5-0, and Hoxie 5-0. Lakeside, the only team that has about a record like Stockton at 1-4. So Stockton kind of maybe nomping at the bit to get those tough teams down and over with and looking for a win in their last three games here when they meet up with Oberlin tonight. Hill City coming up next week in St. Francis to end out the regular season. The Tigers coming off of a year in which they went 0-9 last year, 0-5 in district play, 0-4 at home, and 0-5 on the road. The Tigers just scored in four games last season as they were shut out in five total games last year, scoring 18 points to end the year, though, in their Week 9 contest at Washington County where they lost 50-18. The Tigers, there's no way to sugarcoat it. They have been on a rough stretch here as they have not won a game in almost 1,500 days. Their last win came on October 23rd of 2020 when they won at Trago in a Week 9 contest 32-8. Since then, they have lost their last 31 straight games and have lost 39 out of the last 40 going back to the last 2 weeks of 2018 and 53 out of the last 60 games going back to the final week of 2016, as they have not won back-to-back games either since 2016. So a lot of losing for the Tigers, and they'd love nothing more to have their first win in a long while come against the Red Devils here tonight. The Stockton Tigers on the offensive side of the football are led by their quarterback, running back, wide receiver. He does it all. It's Emerson Lowry, the 5'9", 169-pound senior, will run all over the football field, especially out of the pocket when he's asked to pass. So the Red Devils will have to do a good job of keeping QB contained, because if he gets free, he could be gone. On the running back side of things, it's Lincoln Keller back there tonight, as well as DJ Ard. Both of them are big, wide bodies that prove to be tough in between the tackles. And then also look out for Jace Kessler, along with Cameron Balthazar, to come in into the backfield at some point. Jace, kind of like Emerson, can run all over the football field if need be as well. And don't forget about the tight ends, Jack Gasper and Kason Iwanski. Both of them will prove very tough on the offensive side of the football. On the defensive side, again, got to look out for Emerson Lowry at the linebacker spot. He's got a lot of the tackles this season, but it's kind of a five-man front that head coach Don Moffitt and the Tigers will go with, as they got a couple of DNs that might stand up, and then the D-line will consist of three up front that go 245, 268, 254. So running between the tackles tonight for the Red Devils could be tough, but the outside contain might not be there for the Tigers, so that's where I'm sure the Red Devils will look to attack. It's the Tigers and the Red Devils. Tigers looking for their first win in a long while, as they've lost 31 consecutive games dating back to 2020. And like I said, and we will hear tonight, they will love nothing more than to take down the Red Devils for their first win in 31 straight games. That'll do it for this edition of Red Devil Opposition. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have more Red Devil game day as we have a chance to sit down with head coach of the Red Devils, Brandon Hardwick. That's all still to come right here on 101.1 KFNF.
A step towards better health. High Plains Podiatry.
If you've tried everything to get rid of your warts, High Plains Podiatry offers innovative Swift microwave therapy. Swift is clean and unevasive to get rid of your warts, leaving no blisters or scarring. And it doesn't even need bandages. Move on from warts with amazingly effective wart removal technique from High Plains Podiatry. Call 345-3773 or visit highplainspodiatry.com.
Forget the flashy ads and gimmicks. Farmers, you need fertilizer equipment you can trust. J.D. Skiles in Atwood, Kansas delivers what truly matters, integrity and innovation. From custom fertilizer trailers and pit stop chemical systems to liquid fertilizer systems, they've got it all. Need more efficient spraying equipment? They have the most innovative ATV and UTV sprayers available. No frills, just quality. Visit them online at jdskiles.com or 101 Grant Street in Atwood, Kansas today. J.D. Skiles, where farming meets excellence without compromise.
Are you looking for the best internet service in town? Look no further than Nextech, your local provider that offers true gig speed and full fiber internet. With Nextech, your home can enjoy unlimited data and no contracts. When you need help, a Nextech employee in Kansas is ready to take your call any day of the week. Experience seamless connectivity with Nextech home internet for just $69, and your first bill is even on us. Don't settle. Visit next-tech.com to learn more.
In a time of uncertainty and volatility, one thing has remained unchanged. Nutrien still stands as a proud partner with hardworking farmers and ranchers, working diligently to help put your inputs in the right place at the right time. Nutrien works alongside you to make the most of your investments, offering multiple cash discounts, financing programs, and field-by-field recommendations. Nutrien helps pave the way for a successful start to your cropping season. Contact your local Nutrien today for trusted, knowledgeable, agronomical expertise.
Time to sit down and talk with head coach Brandon Hardwick on today's best country, 101.1 KFNF.
Welcome back into Red Devil Game Day here on today's best country, 101.1 KFNF, and we're joined alongside with head coach of the Red Devils, Brandon Hardwick. Boy, coach, it's crazy. You're past week five already, over halfway through the season, a couple of games into district play. I know I say it every week, and I know we talk about it, but seriously, it is crazy how fast the season goes by, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It does. Every week seems to be getting faster, too, as we keep going.
And you guys were able to pick up a tough loss last week to a really, really tough Hoxie Indian team. You know, it felt like if a couple of turnovers maybe went your way or the ball bounced your way a couple of times, could have been a lot tighter score. But how do you feel you guys played in a tough loss last week?
You know, I thought we handled it well. Execution-wise, both sides of the ball, I thought we did a decent job. Where we really got beat was special teams. I mean, I keep telling our kids that's a big portion of the game is special teams. You know, like we gave Hoxie the ball on our own 20-yard line five times throughout the game. So, you know, that's us asking a lot of our defense to try to stop them when they're that close, and especially against a good team like them. But I kind of told our guys, I don't think Hoxie beat us as much as we beat ourselves that game.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, you know, Hoxie was able to take care of some short field, and that's what makes them a good team. I mean, when you're going to give them the ball on the 20 like that, they definitely want to go in and score. And like you said, special teams kind of a big thing. And I thought, you know, it kind of showed as well. I mean, Hoxie, they've got a really good kicker, and it seemed like he pinned you guys, you know, right at the 15-yard line every time. It's kind of tough to get a drive, you know, started and going when you're kind of pushed up against your own end zone like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little bit tougher, but exactly like you said, there's too good of a team to give them the ball, you know, on our own 20-yard line every time. They'll take advantage of that. So, you know, I think we had a good week of practice this weekend. We got some stuff sorted out on our punt and our kickoff a little bit, and I think we'll be better.
And Josiah with another great night as well. Had a couple of big explosive plays throughout the night, so you had to be happy, especially with a defense like Hoxie's that hasn't allowed a lot of points this season, that you were able to get those explosive plays and put yourselves into situations possibly punch the ball into the end zone, right?
Yeah, it was good, you know, having our run game, moving the ball pretty well again. It wasn't as good as we had hoped for offensive side of the ball. And again, like we said, defense, it was just they just had too short of a field. A couple times when we did get them pinned back, you know, our defense was able to make them actually have to drive the field, and it looked a lot better for us.
And, you know, kind of, you know, looking at the game and stuff like that as well, I felt like it was kind of a big game for you guys to kind of see where you measure up against maybe the top couple of teams in the district and kind of give you a goal of, hey, you know, now we faced a tough team. We know what the top team in the district looks like. We got to get, you know, rise up to in a few categories, right, to get to their level too.
Yeah, it was. It was nice going against, you know, another top, you know, top opponent like that. I think the last one we really had was tight in week two. But, yeah, I think it was nice to know where we're at for the rest of the competition. And, again, I told our kids that you know, a couple things go differently. That might be a 35-20 game. You know, it might be a lot different ball game if we get some areas cleaned up.
And had another great week, you know, on the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, wanted to give up less than the 45 points. But like you said, you know, kind of had a, you know, they got the ball on the 20 a couple of times. But whenever you were able to make them drive, like you were saying, had a really good time, you know, on the defensive side of the football, especially getting to their quarterback. I felt like, you know, Duncan's such a really good quarterback and moving around and still being able to make a play, but you guys flush him out of the pocket a lot, and that's what you want to do with the defensive line, right?
Yeah, we'd like to blitz our linebackers and get them flushed out and have our DNs there ready for them, but, you know, there's a good team. You know, they made a lot of good plays. There was a couple times fourth down, you know, fourth and long, they converted or they scored touchdowns on it. Again, they're a good team. Hats off to Hoxie. They're going to be solid. They're going to make their run this year. But, again, yeah, our kids played well. Just a couple things didn't go our way that we would have liked to. And, again, I think we'll be ready for Atwood next week and St. Francis tomorrow.
Yeah, and how much confidence does that bring to your team? I know we kind of talked of, you know, kind of seeing one of those top teams and playing against them and kind of saying, hey, you know, I got to maybe, you know, rise up in this sense or whatever against a top team when we get to see them again. How much confidence does it bring to your guys knowing, hey, we have a couple of things go our way in that Hoxie game. It's a lot closer.
I think it helps them out a lot, is knowing that, you know, we're right there. You know, they're the number one ranked team for a reason, and really we're not too far behind them right now. So I think it just lets our kids know that really there's no one that we need to fear anymore, that we can play with anyone as long as we play the game clean, play it our way.
and now you're kind of over halfway through the season, I guess, or, you know, kind of have reached that halfway point. What do you think you, from your team so far, that you've seen the biggest improvement on from week one until now?
Up front, I'm seeing a lot more aggressiveness with our offensive line. I think I'm seeing them communicating a little bit more. And other aspects of this, we've been taking care of the ball a lot more on offense. I feel like we haven't really been having much turnovers lately, and we've been making some smarter decisions.
And it kind of really all starts, you know, with those turnovers and stuff like that, you know, kind of keeping the ball in your hands and not giving up to the other team. And I know, you know, you had a couple of turnovers not go your way, or just kind of some special teams miscues. And again, I feel like we talk about it a lot. It's kind of a good example to show the team, right, of, hey, you know, if we're able to, you know, get a good put off here and push them deep, we might be able to stop them and stuff like that. So you're getting good examples to show the guys of how to win games, right?
Yeah, we are. And that's what we're trying to find, you know, find the good in every loss and show them the areas that we struggle at, what we can get better at, and how big of a difference it can make.
And one guy that I felt like, you know, had maybe a little bit of a tougher week last week, but still had a pretty good week running the quarterback spot for you, is Gage Willoughby. You know, he's kind of taken that, you know, role underneath his belt, I thought, you know, really, really well this season, especially for a guy that hasn't played quarterback. I guess, what improvement have you seen from him, maybe from week one until now, that you've really liked?
The biggest improvement I'm seeing from him is not really his play on the field, but how he's acting, you know, at practice, how he's acting off the field. I think he's stepping into that role a little bit more, of trying to be a leader and trying to be, you know, that traditional quarterback role. And, you know, all the kids rally around him, and I think he's starting to realize that, how big of an impact, you know, he has on everyone else too.
And we kind of mentioned, got a couple of big plays against a really tough defense last week, and you guys have had a lot of big plays this season, and I'm sure it brings a lot of momentum and stuff to your side of the field. So getting those big plays last week had to be huge, and that's something that you want to have in the offense, right? I know you kind of want to methodically move your way down the field, but when those big plays happen, it's certainly a big confidence booster, isn't it?
It is. You know, it's just nice for our guys to know that any time we can, you know, we can open one up and break a big one, especially against, you know, the number one team like that. It's a lot of confidence for guys knowing that, again, that we're able to play with them. There's a lot of good things we can do against a good team still.
And it seems like a guy that's gotten you a couple of those big plays besides Josiah and some in the running game and stuff like that has been Tyler Ostmeyer, your big tight end. He's come up with a couple of huge catches, had one last week, had a big one there against Dighton a couple of weeks ago. I mean, how big of a presence does he add on the offensive line as well as in your passing game to have a 6-foot-something kid be able to go up and grab balls out of the air like that?
Yeah, there's no replacing him on our offensive line. He's a very sharp kid. He always knows his job, knows the guy next to him, knows what his job needs to be, and helps everyone out. And then again, just whenever, seems like whenever we need that big play, he's always answered and be able to go up and get it. So, yeah, I think teams got to prepare for him a lot. You know, he's been, a lot of times we see teams getting one guy or two guys on him and running across the field with him, leaving someone else open. So, you know, teams got to respect him and his presence there.
And it's definitely nice. I know we talked about it with Caden a little bit, you know, after that St. Francis game, having another weapon on your offensive side, because, you know, it's pretty simple. Teams are going to look at kind of your stat sheet, you know, and playing to, hey, we got to stop number 8 in the backfield. But to have Caden back there in the backfield to be a threat and have Tyler to be a threat in the passing game, it adds a lot to your offense, doesn't it?
It does. It helps out. Yeah, if we can get Caden, you know, get someone else besides Joe able to move the ball good, get a little pressure off him maybe. Same thing with Gage. I'd like to be able to get him involved in the running game a little bit more whenever we can. But, yeah, it just takes a little pressure off the side, gets him a little break, keeps him fresh also.
And, you know, after a tough third quarter to allow no points there in the fourth quarter last week against a Hoxie team that was, you know, maybe trying to get that game over with and kind of hit the bus and get home, the fact that you guys were able to stay so steady on the defensive side of the football, that had to be very, you know, positive coming out of that game, right?
It was, you know, and again, for a loss, and, you know, it wasn't really not that close to the game. Our kids played very well, so I thought, you know, they stuck it out the whole game. There was no quitting them at all. They wanted to take it to four quarters.
And now you get a tough team this week. Obviously, Stockton, I think everybody kind of knows they haven't, you know, had a winning record in a while and haven't been scoring a lot of points over the last few years. But they haven't lost a game, and they would love nothing more to beat you guys to break that streak, right? They're going to be a tough team. They're back at home for the first time in a few weeks, and they're ready to pick up that first win in a long while, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, they're in a spot. They can be a very dangerous team right now. They have, you know, got a whole lot to lose at the moment, and they've been much improved from what they have been in the past years too. You know, they've been scoring points these last few weeks. Like, they scored 2 touchdowns against Atwood, and I don't know how many games they've gone shut out this year actually. So we definitely can't overlook them too much.
Yeah, and I know they've got, you know, a couple of guys there in the backfield that have got some speed beneath them, the Lowry kid and a couple of other kids as well. It's kind of going to be on your defense to maybe, you know, keep them behind that line of scrimmage. Don't let them scramble out, especially when they're looking for a pass, right?
Yep. With them, we're really wanting to limit the explosive plays. You know, we can handle if they get a first down here or there, but we cannot let them break, you know, a big 50-yard run for a touchdown, anything like that.
Well, Coach, thanks for being able to sit down and talk with us. Good luck tonight.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Once again, that was head coach Brandon Hardwick giving his thoughts on the season so far and what he expects to see out of the Stockton Tigers tonight. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, it's Out Loud of the Field for starters and kickoff between Oberlin and Stockton. It's Red Devil Football here on 101.1 KFNF.
Where hometown charm meets fresh market dreams. Ray's Grocery in downtown Oberlin is a feast for the senses. Hand-picked produce, sizzling steaks, and hearty roasts await your dinner table. Quality soars in every aisle. And when the lunch bell rings, their deli dishes out delights that'll turn your midday meal into a culinary escape on select days. See store for details. Shopping at Ray's is a breeze, leaving the heavy lifting to them as they escort your groceries right to your car. Experience the difference at Ray's Grocery. Fresh, friendly, and always local. Ray's Grocery in downtown Oberlin. Grill has served you pretty well and served you up some pretty tasty meals over the years. Why not treat yourself to a grill that's portable? Yeah, a Halo Grill, where smoke meets innovation. Available at R&M Service Center in Oberlin. The Prime Series of battery-powered pellet grills from Halo offers a versatile outdoor cooking solution that offers real smoke flavor and quality performance. With 4 different sizes available, you could even take one camping. Learn more about the Halo Grills at R&M Service Center, downtown Oberlin.
There is a difference between going to the bank and going to the bank. When you go to the bank, it's just,
hello, welcome to the bank. How can we bore you?
But when you go to the bank,
hi, welcome to the bank. How can we help you?
And that help is offered to you in 13 Northern Kansas locations to help your financial goals become a reality. From services and loans to state-of-the-art financial products, come to where the difference is better. The bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
School year with an everyday spend reloadable prepaid card from United Northwest Federal Credit Union. This personalized prepaid card can help you conveniently budget for school essentials from food to supplies. It is safer to use than cash, can be managed and reloaded anytime, anywhere using your digital device, and is compatible with mobile wallets. Sign up by calling 785-475-2322 or stopping by one of our branches in Oberlin or Norton. Equal housing lender, NCUA insured.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Hi again, everybody, and welcome here from Tiger Stadium, where we're just a few moments away from getting set and ready to go for Week 6 action of Oberlin Red Devil football here on 101.1 KFNF, and we come to you live from Stockton, where the sun is setting behind the trees and almost completely gone. There's been a nice little wave of clouds that have made their way over Stockton since we got here. It was nice and sunny when we were setting the stuff up, and then just right as we kind of got everything set up and ready to go, a nice wave of clouds move their way in and have kind of taken the sun out of play anyway, and now they've got the lights on here at Tiger Stadium, and we're just a few minutes away and ready to go. Kickoff just coming up next. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, get you set up and ready to go with our starters and coin flip. That's all coming up next here. Stockton, Oberlin, all the way here on 101.1 KFNF.
Improve efficiency and add value to your property with a functional and well-designed workshop from the experts at VAC Construction. With a new limited-time special offer, they're making it even more affordable to get a new workshop with a power lift door that creates maximum versatility for ag machinery, aircraft, commercial operations, and more. Learn more and cash in on this offer today at VAPConstruction.com. That's VAPConstruction.com.
Is Ward Drug's top priority. Their expert team in downtown Oberlin, Kansas provides diabetic supplies, home medical equipment, braces, and crutches. They offer sports medical supplies to keep you active and healthy. Independently owned and operated, they ensure personalized care with every visit. From your daily needs to specialized medical equipment, Ward Drug has you covered. Visit warddrugstore.com or call 785-475-2285 or even stop in downtown Oberlin. Ward Drug, your trusted partner in health and wellness.
Bad roofs.
Say yes to AquaShield Roofing.
With over 17 years of providing A-plus services.
Roofs, siding, gutters, windows, doors, and spray foam insulation.
Plus, AquaShield Roofing offers a workmanship warranty.
For your free estimate, give them a call at 785-475-2533.
AquaShieldRoofing.com.
Here come the men in black trucks for all your home needs.
Red Devil Athletics. On today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Hi, good everybody. Welcome back here from Tiger Stadium. It's another edition of Red Devil Football on 101.1 KFNF. As we come to you from Stockton tonight, week six action as the Oberlin Red Devils 3-2 battle it out with the Stockton Tigers who sit at 0-5. Beautiful night for football here in Stockton. They had kind of a 90 degree day just like Oberlin did earlier throughout the day, but it is really cooled off a lot. And hey, if you're going to be here all throughout the night, might as well bring your jacket. It could get like that. There is a little bit of a breeze every once in a while. Other than that, the flag has been pretty much standing stationary out there on the south end zone. Beautiful night for football. The sun is set behind the trees. If you've never been to a football game here in Stockton, besides Smith Memorial Field, probably one of the best football field layouts in the state of Kansas, really, as the field is kind of dug in here into the side of a hill. They've got nice concrete bleachers that lead out to an 8-lane track that goes around the football field, and then a beautiful green grass football field that is all painted up. They've got the numbers out there. They've got a nice big Stockton Tiger paw print out there at the 40-yard line, and it is pink out night here tonight, so they've got a pink 40-yard line, pink goal lines. They've got some pink ribbons at the 20-yard line, at the 15-yard line on the out-of-bounds side anyway, on all four sides of the football field. But beautiful football field here in Stockton. And like I said, nothing beats Smith Memorial Field. But between this one and, I hate to say it, Hoxie, these two are really, really close on some of the best football fields we have seen. And they've got Tigers scripted out across the end zones in blue as well. But, man, it is just, they do a great job here in Stockton getting the field ready. And boy, does it look nice. And the Red Devils and the Tigers will take to it here in just a second to see who's going to walk away a winner tonight. Beautiful 76 degrees, like I mentioned. There is a north wind coming in about 7 miles an hour. It's only felt every once in a while because there's a nice lot of trees right here, kind of down by the river in Stockton where the football field sits. So there's a lot of trees that go along the river there, and it really blocks some of that wind from coming in. Every once in a while, you'll feel it. It'll move the papers around, or if you're holding a roster, you might feel it, ruffle in your hands every once in a while. But other than that, a beautiful night for football, 76 degrees. By the end of the game tonight, we could see it get to as low as 72. The Red Devils have charged out onto the field. They're on the far sideline. The football field here at Stockton sits north to south. The Red Devils will be on the west sideline tonight. Stockton on the east sideline. The Red Devils just broke their huddle and now have charged out onto the football field. And we'll scatter out across their sidelines. So that is a perfect time to take you through our starting lineups. We'll start with the Stockton Tigers on the offensive side of the football. At the offensive line spots, it'll be Ryan Montague, 5'9", 268-pound senior. Jackson Dunlop, 5'9", 245-pound senior. And Tanner Post, 5'9", 254-pound freshman. Yes, you heard that right. Up front, 268, 245, 254. They're big and they are strong. So the Red Devil defense got to deal with them all night long. At the tight end spots is Kaysen Iwanski, 5'7", 158-pound senior, and Jack Gaspers, 6'5", 146-pound senior. At the quarterback spot, it's Emerson Lowry, 5'9", 169-pound senior. At the running back spot, it's Lincoln Keller, 5'10", 157-pound sophomore, and DJ Ard, 5'11", 174-pound freshman will start at the running back and fullback spot as well. On the defensive side of the football for the Stockton Tigers, it is at the DN spots, DJ Ard, 5'11", 174-pound freshman, and Lincoln Keller, 5'10", 157-pound sophomore. At the defensive line spots, it's Jackson Dunlop, 5'9", 245-pound senior, Ryan Montague, 5'9", 268-pound senior, and Tanner Post, 5'9", 254-pound freshman. At the linebacker spots, it's Emerson Lowry, 5'9", 169-pound senior, and Kaysen Iwanski, 5'7", 158-pound senior, and Jack Gasper, 6'5", 146-pound senior. Those are your starting lineups for Don Moffitt's Stockton Tigers, who come in with a record of 0-5, fresh off their loss last week where they scored for the first time in this season, losing 58-12 to the Rollins County Buffaloes. Take you through the starting lineup for the Oberlin Red Devils on the offensive side of the football. At the guard spots, it'll be Rustin Bailey, 177-pound sophomore, and Gus Emick, 238-pound sophomore. At the center spot, Caden Shaw, 225-pound sophomore. Gage Willoughby will be at the quarterback spot tonight, 160-pound sophomore. Josiah Pattengall at the running back spot, 174-pound sophomore. And Caden Sowers, 162-pound freshman at the fullback spot. At the tight end spots, you'll see Garrett Emick, 5'11", 218-pound senior. And Tyler Rossmeyer, 6'3", 210-pound junior. Both of the captains from either side have made their way out into that paw print in the center of the field at the 40-yard line. And they're going through the coin toss out there right now as hopefully the Red Devils were able to get the football anyway. Take you through your starting defensive starters for the Red Devils at the DN spots. It's Garrett Emick, 218-pound senior, and Tyler Rossmeyer, 210-pound junior. And now we do have a result. The Red Devils have won the toss and have deferred to the second half. So the Tigers will start with the football, and the Red Devils will kick from south to north, and Stockton will drive the football north to south. Take you through those starting defensive starters for the Red Devils one more time. Garrett Emick, 218-pound senior, and Tyler Osmeyer on the ends. Osmeyer, 210-pound junior. Gus Emick and Theodore Butterfield could see a rotation between them at the nose guard spot. Gus, 238-pound sophomore. Theodore Butterfield, 185-pound junior. At the linebacker spot, Rustin Bailey, 177-pound sophomore. Josiah Pattengall, 174-pound sophomore. And Caden Sowers, 162-pound freshman. And then at the cornerback spots, 160-pound sophomore Gage Willoughby, 145-pound senior Talon Savage at the cornerback defensive back spots as well. So that takes you through our starting lineups. Once again, Oberlin won the toss, has chose to defer to the second half. Stockton will start with the football and drive south, north to south anyway, and Oberlin will kick it off south to north. That's the way Tiger Stadium sits here. Beautiful night for football, 76 degrees, a little breeze coming out of the north. Every once in a while you can feel it. Other than that, it is a perfect night for Friday Night Lights here in the state of Kansas. Week 6 action and district game number 3 for each of these teams. Stockton sitting at the bottom of the district standings at 0-2. Oberlin so far this season is in the playoffs if they ended before this game as the number 4 team of the district with that 1-1 record, and would love nothing more to maybe jump a couple of spots up there with a big win here tonight. So the Red Devils stretched out across the 25-yard line are trying to get the ball placed onto the tee. And Theodore Butterfield will be the one to kick it off. Josiah Pattengall helped him out a little bit And here we go. We are set and ready to go for Red Devil football. Butterfield sends a end-over-end spinner that'll be taken right at the 25-yard line and then upended right there at the 25 by Christian Smith. Titus is Jack Gasper. And here comes the Stockton Tiger offense that's big up front and has a lot of speed in the backfield. The makings of a good team, but just very young on their side and just haven't seen a lot of winning. And now Don Moffitt and his crew is trying to get that to the opposite. So out of the shotgun here, it will be Lowry. He's got a man on his hip. Two receivers to the right. Takes the snap. Run off the left side. He's got some running at the 25 to the 30. Still on his feet as he makes his way out across the yard line. And will pick up a first down right there for Emerson Lowry, a pickup of 11 on the first play of the game. Emerson Lowry, and that's what he does out of the backfield. They love to get him outside on the edge. And like I mentioned in the pregame show, the Red Devils really going to have to do a good job of keeping him contained back there. Lowry will go out of the shotgun. Man on either hip here, takes the snap, hands it off, running it up the middle and being wrapped up and brought down after a surge forward there on the right side. We'll see who pops out with the football, and it looks like it was Lincoln Keller with a nice gain of a couple of yards there and bring up second down. So on the first play from scrimmage, Stockton gains a first down, and then from there they get a couple more yards on their next play, and it'll bring up second down here with 11:28 to go. They say a pickup of two for Keller. Second down and 28 here for the Tigers. Ball just in front of the 40-yard line. Out of the shotgun, takes the snap. He's rolling out to his right as Lowry cuts back at the 35, making his way out near the 40-yard line before he's wrapped up and finally brought down right at about the 40-yard line there. And so that's probably about third down and six here. They're going to say third down and seven. Just a pickup of one there for Lowry. Third down and seven here for the Tigers right at about the 40-yard line. Third down and seven. It'll be Lowry out of the shotgun again. He's got a man on his hip. That's Lard. Two receivers out to the right side. Now sticks Ard, on his right side of the right hip. Lowry takes the snap. QB design run off the left side. It'll be blown up, and he's wrapped up and brought down for a loss. Way behind the sticks. Lowry, who got outside a little bit right there before finally the Red Devil defense was able to swarm to him and pick him up behind the sticks. And now it'll be fourth down to the Country Mile. They're going to say 12, and it'll bring up fourth down and 12 here after the loss of five there for Lowry. 10-11 to go in the first quarter of play. Fourth down and 12, and the Tigers are going to punt. It's going to be Emerson Lowry to kick it away. Josiah Pattengold to receive. He's just in front of the 10-yard line to the Red Devil side. Lowry will get the kickoff. It's a nice end-over-end spinner that Pattengold will take just in front of the 10. He goes off to the near side, 20, cuts back to the 25, still on his feet before he's going to be wrapped up and brought down. And that's where the Red Devils will start their first possession of the first quarter with 9:49 to go as they force the Tigers to go three and out on their first possession. It was a great game for Lowry on the first play from scrimmage, and then after that, a couple of short gains and then a loss of five after Lowry tried to get to the outside on the near side of the field, and the Red Devils were right there to swarm him. So the Red Devils will start with the football, first down and 10 from the 25-yard line. Willoughby will go under center, Pattengold at the tip of the eye, and it's Caden Sowers between them. Line heavy set to the right. Willoughby takes the snap, hands it off. Pattengold, he cuts back. He's across the 25, up near the 30 before he's going to be wrapped up and brought down after a great pickup of about six there to bring up second down and four.
Second down and four.
So second down and four here. Josiah Pattengold, pickup of six on the first play from scrimmage. And now Gage Willoughby will lead him up to the line again here. They're going to go out of the shotgun. Pattengold on the hip of Willoughby to the right. Nobody out as a receiver. Caden Sowers tucked in behind the line on the left side. Willoughby out of the shotgun, takes the snap, hands it off. Pattengold left side across the 30, making his way out near the 35-yard line before he's going to be wrapped up and brought down there. They're going to say about a half yard short, so we needed four to get the first down. Picked up three, and that'll bring up third down and inches here for the Red Devils with 8:57 to go in the first quarter of play. So third down and inches for the Red Devils, just in front of the 35-yard line. That's where they needed to get to move the sticks. Willoughby will go under center. Eye formation look for the Red Devils. Heavy set to the right. Patton Gall at the top of the eye. Takes the snap, hands it off. Patton Gall cuts back up the middle. He's got the first down and more as he makes his way out near the 40-yard line before his forward progress will down him just in front of the 40 at about the 39-yard line. So he's able to pick up four right there on the third down and inches play. And that'll bring up second, first down and 10 for the Red Devils just in front of the 40 at about the 39-yard line with 8:28 and counting to go in the first quarter of play. Red Devils, three straight runs to start the contest. See if they want to go through the air here on this play as they have first down and 10 from the 39-yard line of their own. Out of the shotgun is Willoughby. Got a man on his hip. No, Willoughby under center. Caden Sowers directly behind him. And then it's Patton Gall off his hip. Takes the snap. No, fakes the handoff here to Sowers off the far side of the field nearing the line of scrimmage before Gage Willoughby is pushed out there on the far side of the field. And that'll bring up second down and about 10 or so there for the Red Devils with 8:02 as the Red Devils go out of bounds there. They say he picked up maybe a half yard, but Gage Willoughby will get credited with zero on the carry as now they have the ball exactly placed at the 40 as it was at about the 39 and a half on the last snap, but it wasn't enough to gain a full yard. Willoughby will go under center again. He's got Sowers directly behind him. Patton Gall off to his right in the backfield. And Willoughby takes the snap under center, hands it off. Caden Sowers up the middle. He cuts back, got some running room, still on his 35. Up inside the 35 and nearing his way out there to about the 30-yard line. And so that'll bring up third down here.
Third down and
about one after the pickup of nine there for Caden Sowers. So the fullback track works right up the middle. Third and one. 7:28 to go here in quarter number one. Red Devils trying to go on a nice long first drive of the contest here. Willoughby will go under center again. I formation look for the Red Devils. Third down and one from about the 28-yard line. Here's the snap. Hands it off. Patton got some running room. He's at the 30 before he's going to be wrapped up and brought down. Had some green grass in front of him. Was able to pick up the first down with a pickup of a yard. And he had green grass in front of him, but it's a great job of the Tigers secondary to run in there. It was Carpenter on the tackle. Just got him by the shoestring. And it'll bring up a new set of downs for the Red Devils. First down and 10 for the Red Devils at the Stockton Tiger 30-yard line here. 6:55 and counting to go in the first quarter of play. And when Brandon Hardwick says controlling the time of game, this is what he means. They have went on a nice long drive here. Got the football with just a little over 10 minutes. And now they've almost eliminated four. Willoughby's going to have to go under center here as the countdown clock is going. Willoughby takes the snap, hands it off to Patton Gall. He's at the 30, still on his feet, breaks to the outside, 25-20, still on his feet there before he's going to be finally pushed out of bounds across the 20-yard line inside the 20 at about the 17-yard line. And so it's a pickup of 13 on the ground there for Josiah Patton Gall. First down for the Red Devils with 6 minutes and 30 seconds to go. And the Red Devils will have first down and 10 inside the 20-yard line at about the 17 of the Tigers. Willoughby will go under center. He's got Caden Sowers directly behind him. Patton Gall off Sowers' hip to the right in the backfield. One man stood up as a receiver. That's Savage. Here's the snap. It's an end around. Willoughby got some running room. He's at the 15. Makes a cut there. Still on his feet to the 10, to the 5. He streaks into the end zone, but a flag comes in, and I'm thinking this one is coming back.
Willoughby is in for a Red Devil touchdown, but there are flags on the play.
So Gage Willoughby runs in from about 17 yards out, but instead they're going to say a block in the back. And the Red Devils, who didn't have many penalties last week, commit their first one here in the first quarter, and it takes 6 points off the board. And this is going to be about a 5-yard penalty here. And they'll mark him back just across the 20, and it'll bring up second, first down here.
First down
quite long ways. First down and 13 officially on the scoreboard. And so the Red Devils there with a 5-yard penalty, with a 10-yard penalty, excuse me. Now sit back just across the 20 at the Tigers, about 20-yard line. Willoughby will go under center again. Patton Gault, the tip of the eye, fakes the handoff. He's rolling out to his left, still rolling. One to Ostmeyer, still on his feet. Now he's going to cut back to his right, looking, slings it over the middle of the field, and the pass is picked off at the 5-yard line. Lowry racing up the near side of the field. He'll go out of bounds at the 20, and Gage Willoughby trying to force it down the field there, looking for Tyler Ostmeyer at about the goal line. And the Red Devils, who had a great first drive, getting all the way down the field, and then a penalty backed him up, and then an interception will end the drive. Gage Willoughby's first pass of the day, not the way he wanted it to go as it goes to the other team, and the Tigers will get the football first down and 10 from their own 20 with 6:09 to go with the first quarter of play. So Lowry will go out of the shotgun here. He'll have three receivers bunched up to the right. Empty set, one receiver out to the left as well. Lowry takes the snap, immediately flush, throws it out into the flat, and the pass will be incomplete. Intended on the far side of the field for Lincoln Keller, who is streaking across the 25-yard line. That'll bring up second down and 10. So Lowry with his first pass attempt of the day. Tigers made it out near midfield and then were forced back after the Red Devils were able to get to Lowry in the backfield as he attempted a QB run off the left side and off the near side anyway of the field as we look at it. Stockton driving north to south. Red Devils trying to defend the south end zone. Out of the shotgun again here will be Lowry. Has a man on his hip, two receivers out to the left. Lowry takes the snap. He's rolling out to his right. He's going to be wrapped up and brought down in the backfield. Huge sack with inside the 10-yard line. And coming there to get him.
Oh, he's topped in the backfield by Bailey.
Is Rustin Bailey. And that'll force third down and a country mile. And that is not good for Emerson Lowry's stats there at all. They're going to say third down and 22, so a loss of 12. And Rustin Bailey picks up a huge sack. It's Rustin's second of the season. And the Red Devils now force the Tigers inside their own 10-yard line. Called it about the 8 or the 7. Lowry out of the shotgun. Man on either hip takes the snap. Lowry in his own end zone looks to throw, and the pass is caught. No, it'll be incomplete. And coming up with a football there on the near side of the field was Josiah Pattenball. He almost had a pick six, as if he was able to time that out a little bit better. Lowry was trying to set up a tunnel screen on the other side of the field, and instead Pattenball almost picked him off. Now Lowry will be the one to kick this one away from his own end zone. He sends a nice boot that'll make his way out and bounce at the 35, roll all the way across the 40 to the Oberlin Red Devil, almost 25-yard line, and that's where the Red Devils will start with the football, first down and 10 with 5:08 to go. So the Red Devils, first drive, they took a lot of time off the clock, methodically drove their way down the field. A 10-yard penalty made it first down and 13, and the Red Devils ran a little boot looking for Tyler Ostmeyer in the end zone, and Gage Willoughby tried to force it right there, right at about the goal line. It was picked off by Lowry, so the Red Devils looking to maybe get some revenge after that tough first drive. They'll go from the left hash here on the far side of the field. Willoughby under center, formation look. Here's the snap. Hand off to Pattengall. It's up the middle, and he's able to gain a couple of yards. And like I mentioned, the Red Devils dealing with a very heavy line from the Tigers. And we got a timeout on the football field, and it's going to be taken by the Tigers, and we will take one with them. 4:58 to go in the first quarter of play. Stockton and Oberlin knotted up at zero apiece here on 101.1 KFNF.
Creative Collision in Oberlin reminds you, when involved in an accident, the insurance company will pay for towing to the shop of your choice within a reasonable distance, not the closest shop available. No law requires you to get more than one estimate. You choose the shop and authorize the repairs. Remember, your car, your choice. Creative Collision, Oberlin's choice body shop for all your collision and restoration services. Call them at 785-470-2130 or stop by at 1843 Highway 83 in Oberlin.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Back here from Tiger Stadium in Stockton, where the Red Devils' first drive ends in an interception, and their second started at the 26 of the Tigers. They made their way out to about the 28, where they have second down and 8 coming out of a Stockton Tiger timeout. Josiah Pattengall, the leader so far for the Red Devils, 6 carries with 29 yards already, has not had anything go back, and that 2-yard gain was his second lowest.
Second down and 8, Devils.
Second down and 8 here for the Red Devils. 4:58 to go in the first quarter of play. Took a nice, long, methodical drive with their first drive and ended in the INT. Gage Willoughby will go under center here. A little bit of an offset eye formation look. Here's the snap. It's a pitch out to Pattengall. He's on his feet at the 30 before he's going to be wrapped up and brought down there. Streaking in to be able to come up and wrap him up and bring him down was Kason Iwanski, and wrapped him up and brought him down. And the Red Devils will get called for holding, and that'll move them back 10 more yards. As they say, the flag was at about the 30, so this is going to move them to the 20 and bring up second down and long again for the Red Devils. So that's two drives with 10-yard penalties that have really killed a good gain. Iwanski there ran in and almost came up with a big play, but it was kind of negated by the Red Devils' holding penalty. So their second 10-yarder of the game, it'll bring up second down and 17 for the Red Devils with the football just across the 15. Fakes once, hands it off, Pattengall off the 20. 25, 30, got green grass there, still on his feet as he makes his way out across the 40-yard line. The football was just at about the 18, and he's able to make his way all the way out to about the 38-yard line. Pickup of 20 there for Josiah Pattengall on his 7th carry of the game. Takes it for double digits and gives the Red Devils some great ground there after a long play that was negated by the penalty and put them back. Now it's first down and 10 for the Red Devils at about the 39-yard line after the pickup of 21 there from Pattengall. One receiver out to the right. Sowers directly behind Willoughby. It's a handoff to Sowers up the middle across the 40. Still on his feet as he breaks a tackle. 35-30, 25-20 before he's going to be wrapped up and brought down to the near side of the field. Caden Sowers immediately hit a couple of times at the line and takes it across into Stockton Tiger territory down to the 21-yard line.
On first down, Red Devils.
So that's a pickup of 20 yards there for Caden Sowers on his second carry of the game. And the Red Devils are back in business here with the football on the 21-yard line of the Tigers. 4 minutes and counting to go with the first quarter of play. And going under center, I formation look here. Maybe no, they're going to go Sowers right behind Willoughby again. And they'll have Pattengall off to the left hip of Sowers. Willoughby takes the snap, fakes once. Now it's a handoff to Talon Savage, a little trickery. He cuts up the middle of the field. He's at the 20 to the 15, still on his feet there before he's going to be wrapped up and drugged down by his shoulder pads just inside the 15. The Red Devils almost pulled off a little bit of a jet sweep look there. There was a lot of fakes going on, and Talon Savage was able to cut it up the middle. It'll bring up second down and 3 after the pickup of 7 from him. So Talon Savage with his first carries of the contest. Talon did not have any carries last season, just 9 receptions for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. So the Red Devils here with a football just across the 15 at about the 14-yard line. I formation look. One receiver tucked in just across on the left side. Here's the snap. Fakes the handoff. Willoughby will be wrapped up and brought down in the backfield for a huge sack. That play was blown up from the start, and it's Iwanski again flying into the backfield, wrapping up Willoughby for the sack, and it'll force third down and long here for the Red Devils after the loss of 7. So that is not at all what the Red Devils wanted there on that play after getting a couple of big ones to set themselves up good. Now it's third down and 10 for the Red Devils from the 21-yard line. Willoughby will go under center again. Pattengall is at the tip of the eye. Sowers between them. Takes the snap, hands it off. Pattengall off right side, 20 to the 15. Met there in the secondary and wrapped up and brought down by the Tigers just across the 15-yard line. This time he's able to pick up 8, and it'll bring up second down, fourth down and about 2.
Pattengall stopped by Iwanski.
Or maybe 1.
Fourth down and 1.
Yeah, fourth down and 1. So Pattengall with a gain of 9 right there. Fourth down and 1 for for the Red Devils from the Tiger 14-yard line. 13-yard line. Willoughby will go under center. Patton Gaulth at tip of the eye. Heavy set to the right on the line. Here's the snap at the fullback. Trap Sowers off the left side. It's got the first down and makes his way almost to the 10. Call it the 11. So a great pickup right there by Caden Sowers as he's able to pick up about two or three. Call it two to give the Red Devils the first down. And it'll bring up first down and 10 for the Red Devils because that ball is on the opposite side of the 10-yard line. Red Devils drive to the north end zone here. Have first down and 10 with a minute and 30 seconds to go in the first quarter of play. It'll be Willoughby under center. He's got Patton Gaulth at the tip of the eye. Sowers between them. Willoughby will go under center. Willoughby takes the snap, hands it off. Patton Gaulth at the 10, cuts back five, trucks his way across the man, and he's into the end zone for the Red Devil touchdown with 1:14 to go. Took him a little bit, but the Red Devils on their second drive punch it in for the touchdown, and it's from 11 yards out from Josiah Patton Gaulth, and the Red Devils have a 6-0 lead with 1:14 to go. So Josiah Patton Gaulth trucked a man at the two to get into the end zone for another touchdown for him. That is now number 15 on the season. Willoughby will go under center. Sowers directly behind him. Patton Gaulth off to the right. It's a handoff to Sowers off right side. Lowers his shoulder, and he's able to get in with a second effort for the two-point conversion. And with 1:14 to go in the first quarter of play, it is Oberlin. 8, stopped it, 0. This is Oberlin Red Devil football here on 101.1 KFNF.
Hi, this is Matt Osmeyer, your Culligan dealer for Rawlins, Decatur, and Norton counties. As we begin another fall sports schedule, we want to wish the best of luck to all area athletes. Culligan of Oberlin is a proud supporter of school activities, and we want to encourage the community to come out and watch all our talented area students participate in all their school activities. And remember, if you have questions about the water in your home, call me for free water analysis at 785-475-2471. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Welcome back here from Tiger Stadium, where the Red Devils punch it in with 1:14 to go and an 8-0 lead. The first Red Devil drive ended in an INT. The second goes for a TD, and the Red Devils make up after a turnover and had a couple of penalties there on that drive that forced them back. They didn't hang their heads at all, and they come up with a huge touchdown right there, kind of one that might change the tide here a little bit, as the Tigers defensively have been able to get to the Red Devils' biggest weapon back there in Josiah Patton Gaulth, but with some runs from Caden Sowers and Talon Savage, the Red Devils were able to kind of complement them, and it'll be Gage Willoughby to kick it off here from the 30-yard line for the Red Devils, and Willoughby will send a skyer end over end that'll be taken right to the 10 by Lowry, races it up the middle of the field at the 20, still on his feet there before he's met, wrapped up and brought down. The football helmet of Jesse Henriksen pops off on his way down, but he is able to come up with a tackle, and that's the Tigers will start with the football, first down and 10
from Tigers on their 24-yard line.
About the 24 is what they're calling it, 23 or 24, somewhere in between there. They're going to call it the 24. So first down and 10 for the Tigers from their own 24-yard line. 1:09 to go in the first quarter of play. Lowry empty set. Three receivers bunched up to the left. One out to the right. Takes the snap. Fakes the handoff. It's a QB run up the middle, and the Red Devils sniff it out, wrap him up, and throw him to the turf at the 15-yard line. So the Red Devils instantly knew what was going to happen there, and they sniff it out, wrap him up, throw him backwards for another loss. That's tough. Emerson Lowry, they've been trying to get that little QB draw going all night long. It worked on the first play. Since then, hasn't really worked. As Lowry, now on that play, has lost five and now another five. So it'll bring up second down and 15 here. Lowry will go out of the shotgun again. He's got a man on either hip. Nobody out as receivers. Takes the snap. Lowry looking to throw. Still looking. Flush out of the pocket to the left. He takes off and run. And he's going to be wrapped up and brought down from behind. Tyler Rossmeyer, the first to get there. Trip him up by the shoelaces. Garrett Emmett comes from the top and pushes him out of bounds. And the Red Devils will force third down. And this is going to be third down and another loss there as the time on the clock is going to wind
third
down.
Third down and 18.
And they're going to say third down and 18, and that's what the Tigers will have as we make our way into the second quarter of play. One quarter in the books here from Stockton. It is Oberlin 8, Stockton 0. This is Oberlin Red Devil football here on 101.1 KFNF.
It's costing more and more to fill up your gas tank these days. What you pay at the pump at Decatur Co-op, you pay less, and you don't have to be a member to enjoy great competitive rates. Decatur Co-op has Pay at the Pump in Lenora, Jennings, Oberlin, and Herndon, Kansas, along with Danbury, Nebraska. Plus, you don't have to worry about whether it's cash or credit. All prices are the same, and Decatur Co-op accepts all major credit cards and the Decatur Co-op Association card. Next time, fill up at Decatur Co-op.
Decatur County Beef wants to do business with all the local farmers. They want to buy your high-moisture corn and grain sorghum, also alfalfa and dry corn, anytime. Decatur Beef and Hoxie Feed Yard are always looking for good help. Truck drivers, plumbers, welders, and pan riders. Decatur County Beef is located just north of Oberlin on Highway 83, and Hoxie Feed Yard is just west of Hoxie. Call 785-475-2212 for Decatur County Beef, or call Scott at 785-675-9009. Give them a try. You will be glad you did.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Back here from Tiger Stadium in Stockton, Kansas, where the Red Devils lead it after one quarter of play, 8-0. The Red Devils with only two drives in that first quarter. One went for an INT, the other one goes for a TD. And now Stockton has a third down and 18 to deal with out of the quarter timeout. Lowry rolling out to his right, still rolling, throws over the middle, the pass is picked off! Gage Willoughby, I think, got a hand on it. No, they're going to say he was out of bounds. He picked it, I thought, in bounds right at the 25-yard line. Instead, they're going to say it was incomplete, so the Tigers and Emerson Lowry get one away there, as it could have went for an INT. Instead, it'll be fourth down and 18 for the Tigers from their own 15-yard line, and Emerson Lowry will be back deep to kick it again. And Josiah Pattengall running his way out there. Here is the kick from Lowry. Sends a boot that'll kind of go off the side of his foot, take a bounce of the 35, and that's where it'll be down. So not too much of a punt there, about 20 yards, and the Red Devils will have their best field position of the night to work with here with 11:45 to go. In the second quarter, it's Red Devils 8, Stockton 0. The Red Devils have kind of used that same mentality that they have all year, and that's let's just methodically get down the field, and it's been good as they've been able to do it, but it's taken a lot of time on the clock as well, which is what they want to do with it. So the Red Devils will have first down and 10 from the Stockton 35. I formation set. And it's Pattengall, the tip of the eye, standing inside the Tiger paw print logo, the 40. It's a fake. Rolling out to his right is Willoughby. He'll throw it back across the middle of the field. Has Talon Savage running about the 25. He overthrew him, and it was almost picked off again, this time by Gaspers. I don't think he realized the throw was coming across the middle of the field. Just didn't stick his hands out early enough, and it'll bring up second down. So second and 10, the Red Devils trying to get that big chunk play that they have really been able to get all year long. But it might be one of those games where Stockton's not going to allow that, but they're going to allow you to methodically drive it down. So the Red Devils now have second down and 10 from the Stockton 35-yard line. Willoughby will go under center. Pattengall at the tip of the eye again from the right hash. Willoughby takes the snap. It's a pitch to Pattengall. He's at the 40, 35, 30. Got a crease there. Still on his feet to the 25-yard line before he's finally wrapped up and brought down. And did he move the sticks? We'll await the official call. And yes, he did. He moved the sticks. Needed 10. Picked up 11 to do it. And on his 10th carry of the game, that takes him to 81 yards overall. And it makes it second, first down and 10 for the Red Devils inside the 25 at about the 24-yard line here with 11. 7:32 to go in the second quarter of play. Pat and Gall ran out of bounds, and so the clock is stopped. And Willoughby will go under center again. He's got Sowers directly behind him. Pat and Gall off Sowers' right hip. Willoughby calls the signals, takes the snap, fakes it once. No, he's going to hand it off to Sowers, who goes to the right, cuts back to the left, lowering the head the whole time, and dives his way out inside the 15-yard line. Did he have enough to pick up a first down? And they're going to mark him about maybe an inch short, and it'll bring up second down and one. No, that was enough for a first down. So a true pickup of 10 there for Caden Sowers, Colin. And it'll bring up first down and 10 for the Red Devils again as they have the ball just across the 15 at about the 14. Willoughby will go under center again. One receiver out to the left. Here's the snap, handoff, Pat and Gall. Cuts back after being met. Still on his feet at the 15 to the 10. Lowering the shoulder, keeping the pile moving on the far side of the field. Getting all the way to the 5-yard line before it's going to be wrapped up and brought down. Pickup of 9 for Josiah Pat and Gall on his first run. About 8, excuse me. And it'll bring up second down and 2 here for the Red Devils. With 10:42 to go in the second quarter of play, Josiah Pattengall he almost got shoestring tackled again, hopped over that, took it up a crease, and then just lowered his shoulder into a pile and kept it moving all the way to the 5-yard line. That's where the Red Devils have the football at about the 6, actually. And Willoughby will go out of the shotgun this time. He's got a man on his hip, out to the left, takes the snap. It's a snap here and a handoff to Pattengall, who goes off the right side. He might have had enough there to pick up the first down. No, they're going to say he just got a yard. It'll bring up third down about 1 for the Red Devils from the true 5-yard line now, with 10:05 to go in the fourth quarter, in the second quarter of play and counting. Red Devils with an 8-0 lead. Ball, the tip of the football sits on the 5-yard line. The far side of the football sits across it at about the 4.5. So the ball just across the 5-yard line. Willoughby will go under center. I formation look again. Pattengall at the tip of the eye. Willoughby takes the snap, handoff. Pattengall left side. Got some running room. Dives his way into the end zone for the touchdown. Josiah Pattengall puts the Red Devils up 14-0 with a PAT pending, with his second touchdown of the game, taking his season total all the way up to 16 on the year. This one comes from 5 yards out, and it gives the Red Devils a 14-0 lead. And so the Red Devils now with a PAT try here. Willoughby will go under center. Pattengall at the tip of the eye. One receiver out to the right. Sowers between Pattengall and Willoughby. Willoughby takes the snap, fakes the handoff, rolling out to his right, cuts back there, trying to do it himself, and he will. So it was a PA bootleg to the right. He ends up just calling his own number, breaks one tackle, and Willoughby is in for the two-point conversion. 9:34 to go in the first half of play. It is Oberlin 16, Stockton 0. Here on 101.1 KFNF.
I keep telling you, these folks are good at real health care, which means they're always working to improve health care outcomes for their patients. To that end, Decatur Health in Oberlin is part of the Get With The Guidelines, a national program to improve outcomes for stroke patients. Not only is Decatur Health a part of the GWTG program, they recently received a Bronze Award for their continued improvement and work with that program. Once again, proving the healthcare professionals at Decatur Health are passionate about your well-being. Decatur Health, where passion and healing come together.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
13 carries, 95 yards, and 2 touchdowns already for Josiah Pattengall as the Red Devils take a 16-0 lead here with 9:34 to go in the first half of play. The Red Devils, who only had 2 drives in the first quarter, have now taken their first one here of the second quarter and scored on it, and we'll try to maybe get the football back here quicker. As Gage Willoughby will be out to kick it again. The Red Devils kind of been platooning kickers after Garrett Emick, who is the normal kicker, kind of has been sidelined with, they don't want to hurt his knee too bad. So he's been the one standing off to the sideline, giving him a break. And so Gus Simic, Gage Willoughby, Theodore Butterfield has also kicked. A lot of kickers. Gage will kick it this time, and he gets underneath this one and sends a boot that'll take a bounce of the 20, picked up there, wrapped up and slung backwards on the near side of the field will be Gasper, and he got lucky there. The ball took a Stockton bounce forward at the 20, but he was going to let it go out of bounds maybe to try to get the penalty. And when he did that, he put his hands up in the air. Well, when that ball bounced, it almost bounced into his backside. And if that ball falls on the turf, it's live, and the Red Devils could have came up with a football. But instead, Gasper was able to recover it. And Tigers will have first down and 10 from their 20-yard line. Lowry will go out of the shotgun. He's got a man on his hip to the left. Two receivers out to the left here from the right hash, moving to the north. Takes a snap. It's a handoff to Keller off the left side. Lowers his shoulder and bangs his way into Rustin Bailey as he makes his way out across the 20 to about the 21 or 22 for a nice pickup on first down there.
By Bailey, second down and 8, Tigers.
And they're going to say second down and 8. So Keller with only his second carry of the night. Both of them have went for 2 yards. Second down and 8 here. 9:06 and counting to go in the first half of play. Red Devils with a 16-0 lead over the Stockton Tigers. Out of the shotgun is Lowry. He's got a man on his hip, two receivers out to the right. Lowry will take the snap, rolling out to his right, still rolling. Flags come in. He's on his feet still at the 20, where he'll be wrapped up and brought down for about a 2-yard loss. Coming in to wrap him up and bring him down by the legs there was Pattengall, and now Lowry is on the ground holding his left knee, and hopefully he's going to be okay as he keeps rolling around trying to get to all fours. And we'll see if he's able to stand back up here, as that'll bring up second down and 8. Lowry still trying to stand up here on the near side of the field. 8:48 to go in the second quarter of play. Red Devils with a 16-0 lead. It'll bring up third down and 10 after the loss of 2. So the Red Devils with 3 drives so far in the game. 2 have went for touchdowns, 1 with an INT, and the Stockton Tigers have had 4 drives so far today and have went 3 and out on all of them and have really been backed up on the last 3. The first drive took them out near midfield before they punted. And now Emerson Lowry is going to be walking off the field. He was hit right at the knee there by Josiah Pattengall. Clean tackle. And it was just kind of the way he was hit as he was going off to his left to kind of stiff-arm Josiah, and he just wrapped him up and plunged into his knee. Hopefully he's going to be okay. And coming in to run the quarterback spot now is going to be Titus Ferguson, a 5'5", 108-pound freshman. So Ferguson will go out of the shotgun. Man on either hip. Here's the snap. He looked to fumble. He looked to hand it off, and the snap goes out of the hands of his intended running back. And then falling on the football, luckily, is Ferguson, and he'll bring up fourth down. Man, almost a disastrous first play for Ferguson there from scrimmage.
Fourth down, Tigers.
And it'll bring up fourth down and 15. So Titus Ferguson on his first handoff was looking to get it to Keller. And when he tried to hand it off there, it slipped out of his hands. And now Lowry, who's been doing the punting duties, is out. And Hayden Hahn, a 5'10", 129-pound sophomore, will punt this away from inside his own 10. Pattengall is back just in front of the 30, and the snap is over his head. Rolling into the end zone, he'll fall on top of the football for a safety. And so the Red Devils will get good field position out of that. And you could tell when Emerson Lowry went out, the Tigers went down. And so it'll bring up first down and 10 for the Red Devils after the punt. A safety there for the Tigers as it goes into the end zone. And the only thing Hayden Hahn could do was just fall on the football. And so Oberlin here with 8:45 to go. We'll get the football back. We'll keep it right here. 8:45 to go in the first half. 18-0. 16-0 is what it should be, not 18. 16-0. They have 18 on the scoreboard. Hopefully they fix that. Actually, yeah, now it is 18. Goodness, Sam. It's been a long week. Give me some credit. So 18-0 now, Oberlin after the safety. Goodness. What's 16 plus 2? 18. Should have known that. 18-0, 8:45 to go in the second quarter of play. And so the Tigers were lining up to punt it there. And we're lining up to kick it. Instead, it's got to be a punt. And so Lincoln Keller will be the one that has to punt it here for the Tigers. And I think the officials are going to go and explain everything to him of kind of how everything works with this. As it's not something that you practice, kicking the safety. You might practice how to return the safety. Red Devils with two returners back just in front of the 10. Here's the punt. He skies it up into the high sky, and it'll be brought down. I think that was Ostmeyer coming up with the football on the far side of the field, right at about the 30-yard line. And that's where the Red Devils will start with the football. The big O coming up and grabbing it just like he will in the winter, like a rebound. And it was Keller that skied that thing about as high as the lights here at Tiger Stadium. And when it finally dropped down, Tyler Ostmeyer, the tallest guy on the football field, was able to come up with it. So the Red Devils will have first down and 10 here with 8:45 to go from their own 30-yard line with just a few minutes left on the first half of play, an 18-0 lead. So Gage Willoughby will go under center here again for the Red Devils. Patton Gall at the tip of the eye. Willoughby calls out the signals, takes the snap, hands it off. Patton Gall breaks the tackle at the 30 as he makes his way out just in front of the 35-yard line. It'll bring up second down and 7 for the Red Devils with 8:33 and counting to go in the first half of play.
Second down and 7.
So a pickup of 3 there for Patton Gall. Second down and 7. Red Devils with an 18-0 lead. Beat Stockton last year 54-6. And are up 18-0 here. The Tigers have only scored 12 points this whole entire season. All of them coming last week on the road at Rawlins County. Have not scored a touchdown here at home yet this year. Willoughby will go under center again. Patton Gall at the top of the eye. Takes the snap, handoff. Patton Gall cuts back. Still on his feet to the 35 to the 40. Taking Tigers with him as he goes out across the 40-yard line. Diving his way to about the 36.
Now Red Devils.
So he takes it from the 34 of his own, from the 33 of his own, to just in front of the 35 at about the 36. Pickup of 11 there for Josiah Patton Gall and a new set of downs for the Red Devils. With 7:46 and counting to go in the second quarter of play, Willoughby will go under center again. Patton Gall back there in the backfield along with Sowers. Here's the snap. Fakes the handoff. Willoughby looking to throw. Still looking. He'll launch a pass down the field as Tyler Ostmeyer, and it just floats out of his hands at the 5-yard line. They ran the right play that time. Willoughby had to throw it over the top of the 6'5" Jack Gasper, who was covering Ostmeyer, got it over him, and Ostmeyer, who stuck out that long reach, just had to go through his fingertips at the 5-yard line of the Red Devils. Will have second down. So second down and 10 here for the Red Devils from the 36-yard line of the Tigers with 7:30 and not counting to go as the clock will stop on that pass attempt. Willoughby now 0-for-3 with an interception passing so far in the game. He'll go out under center with Sowers directly behind him. Patton Gall off to the right of Sowers in the backfield. Heavy set to the left. One man standing up, Savage. Here's the snap. Hand off. This is Patton Gall. He's at the 40. Got some blockers at the 35 before he's going to be tripped up by his shoelaces by Iwanski again. That's the third or fourth time it's happened to Josiah. And it'll bring up third down and about 5 for the Red Devils with 7:15 and counting to go in the first half. So the Red Devils will have third down and 5 from just in front of the 30-yard line at about the 29 with 7 minutes on the scoreboard and clock now before the teams will head to the locker rooms for the halftime break. Willoughby under center. Sowers directly behind him. Patton Gall off to the right. One of eight standing up there as a receiver. Here's the snap. Fakes once, fakes twice. Willoughby got some running number to the 30. 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. He's all the way home. Touchdown, Red Devils. From 31 yards out, it's Gage Willoughby this time. The Red Devils have been running everything to the right or the left on that play. Willoughby faked it twice, got the Tigers on their heels, skirted down the far sideline, and scores for a touchdown. This one coming from 31 yards out for Gage Willoughby. And the Red Devils extend the lead out to 24-0 with 6:40 here in the second quarter. And they have a chance to make it 26-0 with the two-point conversion. As Willoughby talking with Caden Sowers, who now relays a message back to Pattengall. One receiver out to the right. Willoughby under center again, fakes the snap. It's a QB boot this time. He looks, throws, and has Sowers in the end zone for the two-point conversion on the far side pylon. The Red Devils, with 6:40 to go in the first half, are in front 26-0. It's Red Devil football here on 101.1 KFNF.
Farm Credit of Western Kansas is synonymous with giving back to the community and its members. Whether it's attending events such as wheat plot tours, serving on various boards and committees, volunteering at local county fairs, or delivering $5.5 million in cash patronage checks, Farm Credit of Western Kansas is community driven. Stop in at 1190 South Range in Colby or at one of our convenient outpost offices. Farm Credit of Western Kansas, financing ag for generations.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Keith Willoughby punches it in for a touchdown to give the Red Devils a 26-0 lead. It's Gage's second rushing touchdown of the year and his longest at 31 yards as the Red Devils, who have been known to run a fullback trap on that when they have Willoughby under center, they have Sowers directly behind him and Pattengall off to the right. They'll either run kind of a little fullback trap right up the middle with Sowers, or they'll hand it off to Pattengall and he'll rush it up the middle or off to the left side there, depending on what other side they're on. This time, Willoughby faked it to Sowers, faked it to Pattengall, and then just took off on the far side of the field, skirted down the sideline, and scored the touchdown. And the Red Devils now lead it 26-0. Gage Willoughby will be the one to kick it. Willoughby then found Sowers for the two-point conversion, and that got us out to a 26-0 lead. Willoughby sticks the hand up in the air and will boot this one away again. Willoughby with a nice boot this time that'll take a bounce at about the 10. Goes through the hands of the returner and then rolled out of bounds just in front of the goal line.
Ferguson returns a kick for the Tigers.
It was Ferguson, Titus Ferguson, who came in as quarterback.
First down on the 1 yard
and he
line.
Goes out at legitimately the 1 yard line. Ferguson had that go through his hands at the 10, roll all the way to the 1, and that's where Willoughby met him and threw him out of bounds. So Titus Ferguson got lucky there. The Red Devils have another chance for their second safety as they've got the Tigers pinned at legitimately the 2-inch line. The nose of the football pointing towards the south is practically on the goal line. Lowry back in the game, out of the shotgun, man on either hip. Lowry will take the snap, hands it off, and he's met by Garrett Emick, wrapped up and brought down for another safety. That's number 2 of the game for the Red Devils, their first 2 safeties of the year, and the Red Devils pick it up there. I guess that's their first true one. They've had 2 like the one before where the snap's been over the head and it's into the end zone, and Garrett Emick this time will be the one to pick up the safety. And so with 6:32 to go, the Red Devils will get the football again. Garrett Emick from the left side. And that was all on Ferguson, who had the ball go in and out of his hands at the 10, and he barely got it into his hands at the 1.
Soup supper at 6, kicks the evening off.
So Stockton safety to make it 28-0. Red Devils now with 6:32 to go. It's the second safety of the game. The first true safety where the Red Devils forced the safety. And it wasn't just over the snapper's head. Greeley County had one of those as well. And Stockton has had one tonight. But that time, And now here's Riley's kick. This one's a spinner. It'll be taken by Sowers at the 35. Got some room at the 30 to the 35. Still on his feet, carrying Tigers with him out to the 40-yard line or just in front at the 39. And that's where the Red Devils will start with the football with 6:24 to go in the second quarter of play. So two safeties in the game for Stockton. The Red Devils, who only led 8-0 after the first quarter of play, are now in front with a 20-point quarter here in the second, and it's 28-0. Looking to add that lead as they start with the football, first down and 10 from their own 39-yard line. Red Devils with some great field position on the last few drives. Under center, way heavy set to the right. Just one lineman off to the left of Willoughby as they go out of the I formation here. Here's the snap. Pattengall at the 40. Cuts back there. Still on his feet to the 35. Got green grass at the 30. Trying to avoid another shoestring tackle. He won't, but he dives his way into Tiger territory. Well, deep into Tiger territory, making his way almost to about the 25-yard line. As they'll call it about the 26 is where he takes it. So Josiah Pattengall with a great run there on first down, a gain of 15 for Josiah on his 17th carry. 17 carries, 129 yards, and a touchdown for and two touchdowns for Josiah today. 6 minutes and counting to go here in quarter number two. Red Devils 28, Stockton 0. I formation again. You know it's Pattengall at the top of the eye. Here's the snap. Fakes it once, fakes it twice. Willoughby flushed out of the pocket to the left. Now he's still looking to throw. He'll take off and run. He's at the 15, still on his feet to the 20 before he'll be wrapped up and brought down on the near sideline as the Red Devils drive the football towards the south on this north-south field here at Tiger Stadium. Second, and it'll be pushed out of bounds at the 20-yard line after a pickup of 6. So Gage Willoughby, who his first two carries went for 0 yards and minus 7, and his next two have went for 31 yards and 6 yards and a touchdown. Second down and 4 down for the Red Devils. 5:43 on the clock. Clock stopped because Willoughby was tackled out of bounds, and the Red Devils have the football on the left hash, driving to the south. Second down and 4 from the 20-yard line. Willoughby will go under center. It's Sowers directly behind him. Pattengall off to the left of Sowers. One receiver standing up to the right. Here's the snap. Fakes once. Now it's Pattengall. He's at the 20. Got daylight. 15, 10, 5. He's in for a touchdown. His third of the game. And the Red Devils extend the lead again here in quarter two to 34-0. So Josiah Pattengall with another touchdown, this one from 20 yards out. And the Red Devils now lead it 34-0, PAT pending. So the Red Devils trying to add two more points. They had back-to-back safeties that have set up two great drives for the Red Devils, a couple of big plays. It'll be Willoughby under center. Pattengall is at the top of the eye. One receiver, Gehring, out to the left. Here's the snap. Fakes the handoff once, twice. Now it's Willoughby rushing it off the left side. It'll be wrapped up and brought down from behind by Lowry, who he thought he cut off, going to the near side of the field around the corner, and the two-point conversion will be stopped. But with 5:36 to go here in the second quarter of play, it is Oberlin 34, Tigers 0. This is Red Devil football here on 101.1 KFNF.
FNB Bank in Oberlin, you're getting a dedicated team of professionals who prioritize your financial needs. They offer the convenience of online and telephone banking, plus debit cards that make transactions seamless. And when they say team, they mean a tradition of trust and reliability. They're here to support you long after you open your account. So when it comes to banking, be confident knowing FNB Bank will go the extra mile for you. FNB Bank in Oberlin. Visit them online at fnbbank.com.
Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Red Devils out in front 34-0 as Josiah Pattengall runs in his third touchdown of the day, his longest this time as it comes from 20 yards out. He now has 18 carries for 149 yards on the evening, and the Red Devils lead it 34-0. It'll be Gage Willoughby to kick it off with 5:36 left in the first half. The Red Devils have forced Stockton to back-to-back safeties on their last two possessions. And now Willoughby gets underneath this one by a lot. It'll be taken right at about the 25. Iwanski rushing it off to the right side there. And he gets it out across the 25. And that's where the Tigers will start. So their best field position in a long while, the Tigers have. Just across the 25 of the 26 with 5:33 to go in the second. Second quarter of play, 34-0. Red Devils out in front. So the Red Devil defense has come up huge over the past couple of possessions as they got a big stop with inside the 15, and the snap went over the punter's head. And then the next drive, Stockton started from its own one. The first play was for a safety. Lowry had a shotgun here. Here's the snap. Hands it off. Ball's on the turf. It pops out. And then the Red Devils are on top of it. Finally, someone hops on top of it. The handoff went to DJ Ard off the left side. He never had the football. It was coughed up. Lowry turned to his right, back to his left. Didn't know the ball was on the ground. It was Gus Emick first to get there. And then I think it was Garrett Emick to come in and finally pick the ball up. And the Red Devils will have first down and 10. So just one play on the last two drives for the Tigers, and it results in another turnover. And so with a 34-0 lead, the Tigers will run out. Excuse me, the Red Devils will run out here with first down and 10 from the 15-yard line of the Tigers. Willoughby will go under center here. It is Sowers directly behind him. Pattengall off to his right in the backfield. One receiver standing up at Savage on the right side of the line. Fakes once, fakes twice. Here's the handoff to Sowers. He cuts back off the right side, makes his way up the sideline, and he's in for the touchdown on the first play. They got me with some trickery in the backfield, but it's Sowers that pops out of the middle of the line, cuts it back to the right on the far side, and scores from 15 yards out. It's Caden Sowers with a touchdown, and the Red Devils extend their lead to 40-0. So Caden Sowers with the touchdown, this one from 15 yards out. It is Caden Sowers' first touchdown of the night. I formation look again. This is a huge play here for the Red Devils. So go under center, the snap, handoff, and a wide open hole for Pattengall, who runs it in for a two-point conversion. So with just 5:21 to go in the first half, it is Oberlin 42, Stockton 0. This is Red Devil football here on 101.1 KFNF.
Insurance, it seems like you can never have enough. And when it comes to peace of mind, it's good to have the right insurance in place. Fredrickson Insurance Agency in Oberlin can help you do just that. Fredrickson's can help with supplemental insurance for your home, farm, business, auto, and yes, even your crop. Fredrickson's will help you find the best plan from the best companies. Insurance, get the best from Fredrickson Insurance Agency next to the Landmark in downtown Oberlin. 785-475-3883.
Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Back here from Tiger Stadium, where it's Caden Sowers getting on the board for the first time tonight with a 15-yard touchdown run. And I'm not going to lie, if it sounded bad on the call there, that was on me because they faked it a couple of times in the backfield. Willoughby got sacked. So I thought Willoughby was sacked, and then you see Pattengall running off to the left, and he was skirting into the end zone with ease, just had one man to beat and beat him at about the 5-yard line. So I guess if Brandon Hardwick was wanting to fool some people, he fooled me. So the job was finished. And here is Gage Willoughby to kick it away again. He sends a nice boot. That'll be taken right at about the 35. Ard racing it up to about the 25, excuse me. That's where he'll be wrapped up and brought down to the far side of the field as he received it at the 15. So just across the 20 is where the Tigers will start here. They say at about the 21 with 5:15 to go. So the last two plays for the Tigers, it's went safety, fumble, turnover. And the Red Devils on each of those have turned them into scores as the Red Devils, who gave the ball back after scoring with 5:36 to go, got it back with 5:21 and scored about 15 seconds later. And here we are, 5:15 to go. First down and 10 for the Tigers from the 21-yard line. Lowry out of the shotgun. He's got Ferguson on his right hip. Two receivers out to the right. Takes the snap, fakes the handoff. Lowry busting it out to the right side. He's at the 20 before he's going to be wrapped up and pushed out of bounds there. And he kind of trips over himself, Lowry, and he's able to get up. Good to see Lowry making his way back in. He kind of limps back onto the field, but took a hard hit to kind of the outside of his knee. I didn't know if he was going to be able to get back in. It's probably one of those where the helmet goes into the knee, and it's just a stinger, and you're going to feel it all night long. It'll bring up second down and 7 as Lowry is able to pick up 3 there for the Tigers. That is Lowry's first positive rush since his second carry of the game. He now has 8 carries for minus 12 yards. The Tigers as a team, minus 13. Lowry out of the shotgun as a man on his hip. Two receivers out to the left, none to the right. Takes the snap. It's almost over his head. Lowry rolling out to his left, still looking to throw. And he's going to be wrapped up and brought down. Did he get it off? No, they're going to say that's a true sack. I couldn't see that. Came in. And it's Josiah Pattengall, as they say over the loudspeaker, that comes in and picks up the sack to force third down and 12. So a loss of 5, and that's an announcer's jinx. Sorry, Emerson. As I just said, he got his first positive rush in a while. That time, it'll go backwards with the sack. And now it'll bring up third down and 12 here for the Tigers. 4:35 and counting to go in the first half. Red Devils in front, 42-0. Out of the shotgun is Lowry. Got a man on either hip. Takes the snap. He's dropping back to pass. Throwing it out to the right. The pass is incomplete. Intended for Iwanski at the 25. And it'll bring up fourth down and 12. So the Tigers will have to punt again. Emerson Lowry 0-for-4 throwing today. And the Tigers, who got out to the 40-yard line on their first drive, have not been anywhere close since. And it looks like it's going to be Hayden Hahn again to punt it. The last punt went over his head into the end zone for a safety. This punt is to him, and it'll be partially blocked up front. Now it's off the side of the foot, bouncing at the 25, still rolling to the 30, where Brady Gehring will let it go, and the Red Devils will start inside the 40-yard line and again at about the 32, 33-yard line. So it'll bring up first down and 10 for the Red Devils. 4:12 to go in the first half. It was an 8-0 game after the first quarter, and the Red Devils have certainly taken care of a lot of miscues from the Tigers.
32-yard line.
As it's now 42-0. The Tigers, as you know, have lost 31 straight games. And in those 31 straight losses, they've been outscored 1,756 to 116. Willoughby. Well, this is Gehring under center. He takes the snap, hands it off. It's Sowers running it up the middle across the 20 before it'll be wrapped up and brought down. So 4:03 and counting to go here in the second quarter.
Second down and 5.
And it'll bring up second down and 5 here after Caden Sowers is able to pick up 5 on the first run. So Brady Gehring in at quarterback. The Red Devils kind of emptying the bench a little bit here. So it's Brady in at quarterback. Sowers will act as the running back, and then Christian Smith-Titus is the fullback. They have one receiver out to the right. The snap, Gehring with the pitch. Sowers is at the 30, gets the corner to the 25, still on his feet to the 20 before he's going to be finally pushed out of bounds at about the 15-yard line.
Sowers is bumped out of bounds.
As he was able to take that from about the 27 to...
First down, Red Devils. The 15.
So a pickup of 12 there for Caden, and it'll bring up first and 10 again for the Red Devils here with 3:29 and not counting because he was able to step out of bounds there. Brady will go under center again. I formation. Sowers at the tip of the eye, fakes the handoff. Brady looking to throw, has a man in the end zone coming back to the football, and a flag will be thrown. His intended target in the back of the end zone was Mitchell Wasson. The 6'1 freshman came back to the ball right of the front pylon, and this is going to be pass interference to move the Red Devils deep into Stockton territory. It's the first penalty that the Tigers have received today. And so this will take it from the 15 to about the 8, as it'll be half the distance to the goal, I'm sure. And It'll bring up, that should be first and goal.
First down and three.
First and three, okay. So they're going to say from the eight, first and three, just about a seven-yard penalty there. Brady Gehring under center again. Brady takes the snap. It's a pitch out to Patton. It's a pitch out to Sowers, who's still on his feet inside the 10, inside the 5, before he's finally brought down at about the 4. And no, they're going to say just short of the
stop by Hahn
line to gain there. And so just a pickup of 2 for Caden, and it'll bring up second down and 1. 2:56 and counting to go here in quarter number 2. Red Devils in front 42-0. Red Devils using some of the guys that don't see a lot of time. And it's Sowers at the tip of the eye. One receiver out to the right. It's Gehring takes a snap, rolling out to his right, looking to throw, and he's going to be wrapped up and thrown out of bounds on the far side. Did he get enough to get the first down? He did. Needed one, and he barely got it all, but Brady Gehring with the carry. And so it'll bring up first down and goal.
First and goal.
First and goal here for the Red Devils. That is Brady Gehring out there running the quarterback spot. And now he is awaiting a play here. Sowers has been the tailback or the fullback. And are they going to give him a break here? Because it looks like it's going to be Josiah Pattengall to come in and go at the tip of the eye. And Gehring will go under center. Gehring takes the snap, falls down, tries to hand it off. And then as there was a push from up front, and it'll bring up second down and goal now from just across the 5 at about the 6 with 2:20 and counting to go. So the Red Devils, who were going to try to give it off there to Pattengall.
Second and goal, Red Devils.
Who stays in the huddle. It's now Tyler Ostmeyer running the play in. 2 minutes to go before the half. 42-0. Another man comes on late here for the Red Devils. Gehring will go under center. Gehring takes the snap, hands it off. Pattengall off the right side. Cuts back to the outside. Still on his feet. Dives for the end zone. The ball pops out of the 1 yard line as he was streaking into the end zone. And the Red Devils are lucky the Tigers didn't pick it up as Pattengall, and I don't know who fell on top of the football on the far side of the field there. But the Red Devils.
On the play, recovered by Smith Titus.
And it's Smith Titus that'll come up with the football. So it's Smith Titus with a gain of 4. Brings up third and goal for the Red Devils from the 1 yard line. And here's the snap. It's a QB sneak. Gehring trying to push it across. I don't think he got in. Yes, he did. He's in for the touchdown. With 1:13 to go in the first half, the Red Devils, with some late theatrics there, are able to punch it in. It's Brady Gehring with a 1 yard QB sneak. And so the Red Devils now lead it 48-0, and we'll end this thing at halftime, barring any big plays here from Stockton before the end of the half, as they lead it 48-0. Under center, Gehring takes the snap, hands it off, wrapped up immediately, and thrown backwards for a loss there on the two-point conversion try was Caden Sowers. So the Red Devils will kick it away with 1:13 to go. They lead it 48-0. It's Red Devil football here on 101.1 KFNF.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rob Hens, and we are proud to have served our community for the past 20 years. And boy, has surgical techniques changed. Gone are the days of large incisions and weeks in a CAM boot. Now I can perform these surgeries through a tiny 2-millimeter incision, and you can walk out on your own 2 feet with only a Band-Aid. Your first step towards better health is to call High Plains Podiatry.
A step towards better health, High Plains Podiatry.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Welcome back here from Tiger Stadium, where the Red Devils lead it now 48-0. Here in quarter number 2, they have put up 40 points alone in the second quarter of play after only leading 8-0 after the first, have taken care of 3 pretty big turnovers for the Tigers and have gotten 2 safeties as well. Those turnovers being two of those being the safeties and then a fumble. And Willoughby will sky the kick here, end over end. It'll be taken. No, it goes off of the hands of two Tigers onto the turf, and the Red Devils will pick up the football at the 20-yard line. So it was Gaspers along with another man for the Tigers that were going after the football. They collide into each other as they hit helmets. Hopefully both of them are going to be okay. And so Oberlin will have the football with 1:13 to go here in quarter number two. And we'll see what Brandon Hardwick wants to do here as he's got all of the second teamers in. They were the ones that led the scoring drive the last time, and they'll have first down and 10 from the 20-yard line here. Smith Titus at fullback, Brady Gehring at quarterback, Caden Sowers at the tip of the eye, one receiver Lawson out to the right. Takes the snap, fakes the handoff, he's going to be wrapped up. Now he heaves up a prayer, and he was looking for Smith Titus, who was streaking to the 10, and the Red Devil offensive line just allowed pretty much everybody through there, and it'll bring up second down. So second down and 10, Brady Gehring with the pass. Second time he's dropped back to pass. The first one ended in a pass interference call that set up the Red Devils with good field position to score that touchdown. And now this one was just sent up as a prayer as he was going down. Brings up second down and 10. Gehring will go under center again. Sowers at the tip, the eye, kind of a short formation eye. Here's the snap to Sowers. Sowers at the 20, still on his feet as he rumbles his way to the 15. And the Red Devils can pretty much down the clock here from here on out as it goes under a minute with 54 seconds to go. See if the Red Devils want to get one more play. They'll have to get one more play. But see if they just want to knee it. It'll bring up third down and 5 as that was Caden Sowers. With they say a 4-yard run, actually. So 4-yard run from him. And with 32 seconds to go, Gehring will go under center. He's got Smith Titus directly behind him. Sowers off his hip to the right and one receiver out to the right. Gehring will take the snap, hands it off here to Smith Titus, who cuts back and rushes it out the outside. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He's all the way in. For the touchdown, Christian Smith Titus, this time from 15 yards out, runs it in for the touchdown. So Christian Smith Titus on the 15-yard touchdown run, and the Red Devils lead it 54-0 with 11 seconds to go here in the first half. And so now the Red Devils will go after the two-point conversion. Smith Titus was immediately met in the backfield and rushed all the way to the right side. Just broke out, ran backwards about 5 yards. Now here's the snap. Gehring rolling out to his left, throws it into the end zone, was looking for Lawson cutting across the back, goes over his head, and it will be incomplete. We'll keep it right here, 54-0 with 11 seconds to go in the first half. Red Devils put it on with Christian Smith Titus there scoring it as the Red Devils, with just 11 seconds to go, it is so 54-0 now, Red Devils out in front. As Christian Smith Titus gets a touchdown that he will always remember. Like I said, he was immediately met in the backfield, ran 5 yards backwards. Got it to the outside and then just took it up the right side. And now Gus Emick will come on to kick here for the Red Devils. Gage Willoughby has done a pretty good job kicking tonight as they started with Theodore Butterfield on the kick. And then they quickly transitioned to Gage Willoughby, who had a pretty good night kicking the football. And now Gus Emick, who's seen a lot of kicks this year as well, will boot it away from the 30. And this is a nice boot That'll be taken by Ferguson. Drops it quickly at the 15. Now he cuts back there before he's going to be wrapped up and brought down. Almost had the ball pop out again. And 6 seconds to go here for the Tigers, down 54-0. So the Red Devils have scored.
First down Tigers on their 21-yard line.
8 times here in the second quarter, 6 touchdowns and 2 safeties as they lead it 54-0. And now Keaton Sowers will run out. Red Devils, they have too many men on the field. Looks like they're okay. 3 receivers out to the left, 1 to the right here for Lowry in an empty set with a 3-man front. Takes the snap. Lowry looking to throw. Flush out of the pocket to the right. Lowry looking. He'll heave it way down the field as a man wide open. And the pass is in and out of the hands of Jack Gasper. And he's going to be thinking about that one for a long while as Gasper was wide open at the 25-yard line. No one around him. And it goes in and out of his hands. And that's how the contest will come to a close. The Red Devils get the win at halftime tonight over the Stockton Tigers, 54-0. We'll take a quick break and be back with our post-game show. It's a Red Devil winner, 54-0, here on 101.1 KFNF.
Forget the flashy ads and gimmicks. Farmers, you need fertilizer equipment you can trust. J.D. Styles in Atwood, Kansas delivers what truly matters, integrity and innovation. From custom fertilizer trailers and pit stop chemical systems to liquid fertilizer systems, they've got it all. Need more efficient spraying equipment? They have the most innovative ATV and UTV sprayers available. No frills, just quality. Visit them online at jdskiles.com. or 101 Grant Street in Atwood, Kansas today. J.D. Skiles, where farming meets excellence without compromise.
Are you looking for the best internet service in town? Look no further than Nextech, your local provider that offers true gig speed and full fiber internet. With Nextech, your home can enjoy unlimited data and no contracts. When you need help, a Nextech employee in Kansas is ready to take your call any day of the week. Experience seamless connectivity with Nextech Home Internet for just $69, and your first bill is even on us. Don't settle. Visit next-tech.com to learn more.
Agriculture, a hard-working industry built by a labor of love, blood, sweat, and tears. An industry that is constantly changing at an increasing rate with not enough hours in the day. Nutrient Ag Solutions is here to help carry the burden by offering multiple financing options, in-depth soil health and productivity analysis, field-by-field seed recommendations, and industry-leading services. Nutrient, working smarter and harder. Contact your local Nutrient today.
Grill has served you pretty well and served you up some pretty tasty meals over the years. Why not treat yourself to a grill that's portable? Yeah, a Halo Grill, where smoke meets innovation. Available at R&M Service Center in Oberlin. The Prime Series of battery-powered pellet grills from Halo offers a versatile outdoor cooking solution that offers real smoke flavor and quality performance. With 4 different sizes available, you could even take one camping. Learn more about the Halo Grills at R&M Service Center, downtown Oberlin.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Back here from Tiger Stadium, where the band is playing their halftime performance. They, I'm sure, wish it was at a halftime where the Tigers were in front, but instead, it is a Red Devil winner tonight with ease, 54-0 over the Tigers of Stockton. Oberlin kind of got started a little bit later than they wanted to. I'm sure they wanted to get started in that first quarter and score some points, but it took them until the second where they would put up a great amount of points there in that second quarter of play and walk away with a 54-0 win. 46 points alone in the second quarter of play, and the Red Devils win it 54-0. Take you through your scoring summary. Red Devils got on the score. Red Devils had the second drive in total of the game after the Tigers, the Red Devils won the toss, deferred, gave the football to the Tigers in the second half and to start the game. Tigers would get out to about the 40 on their first drive. Red Devils on their first drive got a nice long methodical drive down the field. Gage Willoughby would end up throwing an interception at about the 5-yard line. Stockton would get the ball back. They go 3 and out. And then the Red Devils would methodically work their way down again and score on a Josiah Pattengall 11-yard touchdown run. A two-point conversion run from Sowers would be good. And the Red Devils will lead it 8-0 with 1:14 to go in the first quarter of play. And then the second quarter is where all the scoring started. Red Devils with 9:34 to go in the second quarter of play would get Josiah Pattingall a second touchdown run of the night with a 5-yard touchdown run. Two-point conversion run by Willoughby would be good. Red Devils lead 16-0, 9:34 to go. Red Devils would score again under a minute later after Stockton would get a safety on a snap that would go over the punter's head into the end zone. He'd dive on top of it there, and it would be 18-0 with 8:45 to go in the second quarter of play. Then with 6:40 to go in the second quarter of play, Gage Willoughby would scamper in from 31 yards out. After they got the kick on the safety there, they would drive it down. Willoughby would run it in from 31 yards out. The two-point conversion, Willoughby to Sowers pass would be good, and it'd be 26-0 Red Devils. Just a couple of 8 seconds later, Oberlin would score again with another safety. This coming after the Tigers started with a football on their 1 yard line. It was a quick handoff to DJ Ard off the right side. He was immediately blown up by Garrett Emick in the backfield, and it would be a safety, and the Red Devils will lead 28-0. They would take the ensuing kickoff, go on a nice long drive again, and make it 34-0 on a Josiah Pattingall 20-yard touchdown run. The 2-point conversion would be no good by Gage Willoughby. And then Caden Sowers would run it in from 15 yards out with 5:21 to go to make it 42-0 Red Devils. Red Devils would make it 48-0 when Brady Gehring would get a 1-yard QB sneak touchdown. And then Christian Smith-Titus would add on to the lead to make it 54-0 with 11 seconds to go in the first half. Red Devils once again with a win, 54-0. They outscore Stockton 8-0 in the first and 46-0 in the second quarter alone. Take you through your individual numbers. We'll start with Stockton. Emerson Lowry tonight, 9 carries for minus 17 yards. Lincoln Keller with 2 carries for 4 yards. Titus Ferguson with 1 carry for minus 5 yards. Emerson Lowry on the night, 0 for 4, throwing the football. For Oberlin, on the night, Josiah Pattingall finishes with 18 carries for 149 yards and 3 touchdowns. Caden Sowers with 9 carries for 80 yards and a touchdown. Gage Willoughby with 4 carries for 30 yards and a touchdown. And then 1 carry for Talon Savage for 7 yards. 2 carries for 19 yards and a touchdown for Christian Smith-Titus. And Brady Gehring finishes with 2 carries for 2 yards. Gage Willoughby throwing 0 for 3 with an interception. Brady Gehring throwing 0 for 1. No receptions tonight for the Red Devils. Your stat summary, Oberlin finishes with 287 yards on the night, all of them coming on the ground as they ran 40 plays at 287, all of them coming on the ground. They had a couple of penalties for 20 yards. Stockton finishes with minus 18 total yards on the game as they had 18 on the ground. Minus 18 on the ground, none through the air, so they finished with minus 18 overall on the night. Turnovers, they had a few, but they finished with one penalty for 8 yards. As the turnovers, a couple of fumbles, as well as the two safeties that can be deemed turnovers as well. So the Red Devils get the win 54-0. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up here for one more final time from Stockton. It's a Red Devil winner, 54-0.
Hometown charm meets fresh market dreams. Ray's Grocery in downtown Oberlin is a feast for the senses. Hand-picked produce, sizzling steaks, and hearty roasts await your dinner table. Quality soars in every aisle. And when the lunch bell rings, their deli dishes out delights that'll turn your midday meal into a culinary escape on select days. See store for details. Shopping at Ray's is a breeze, leaving the heavy lifting to them as they escort your groceries right to your car. Experience the difference at Ray's Grocery. Fresh, friendly, and always local. Ray's Grocery in downtown
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Welcome back here from Tigers Stadium, where the dance team is now taken out to the 40-yard line, going through their dance routine, and they picked a good song, if you can hear it in the background. Red Devils with the win, 54-0 tonight, all over the Stockton Tigers. Tigers will now drop to 0-6 on the year and 0-3 in district play, while the Red Devils, with a big win tonight, have really cemented maybe their spot in the postseason. There's still 2 weeks to go, so still a lot of football to be played, but the Red Red Devils certainly helped their case tonight as they are now 3-2 on the season and 2-1 in district play. And they will now look again on the road coming up next week with a big game taking on the Rawlins County Buffaloes there from Atwood coming up next week. Red Devils once again now 4-2 on the year, 2-1 in district play, and have really helped their postseason chances with a big win here tonight. So next week, Rawlins County, Oberlin from Atwood. We'll have all the action starting with pregame at 6 o'clock, kickoff at 7 there from Atwood. You can also watch it on our KFNF YouTube channel. Don't forget, we got Oberlin Lady Red Devil Volleyball coming up tomorrow from Quinter as the Lady Red Devils participate in the Northwest Kansas League Tournament. They'll take on St. Francis Quinter and Greeley County on their side of the pool, and we will have all the action there. It won't be, sadly, on our KFNF YouTube channel, but you can hear all three games right here on KFNF throughout the day. Mark Searcy, my good friend, will be down there calling the game. Sadly, I won't be there. I know. Hey, every once in a while you get a weekend off, right? So the Red Devils hopefully will walk away from that 3-0, maybe with the Northwest Kansas League trophy. That would be really great for head coach Lindsey Fortin's squad. We'll have coverage there starting with pregame at about 8:45 a.m. Once again, the Red Devils with the win 54-0 here tonight. We'll be back with more Red Devil football coming up next week from Atwood. I'm Sam Knowles signing off saying so long and good night here from Stockton.
Following has been a presentation of high school athletics on 101.1 KFNF, today's best country. Coverage of today's game was brought to you in part by
AquaShield Roofing, Creative Collision, Colligan of Oberlin, Decatur Co-op, Decatur County Beef, Decatur Health, Farm Credit of Western Kansas, FNB Bank of Oberlin, Frederickson Insurance Agency, High Plains Podiatry, J.D. Skiles, Next Tech, Nutrient Ag Solutions of Oberlin, R&M Service Center, Ray's Grocery, The Bank, United Northwest Federal Credit Union, FAP Construction, and Ward Drug Store.
For more sports and a look at our upcoming sports schedule, log on to our website at highplainsradio.net.